Well, you like surprises? Wake up this morning, look out your window. Looks like a nice January day. Now, it's not that cold. There's not a lot of snow, but your lawn or your front whatever will be covered with snow. And the roads are weird. They're like, well, Mary, would you say slushy? Slushy, crusty?
Yes.
That's what I got coming
kinda
in.
Kind of slush. Yeah, it was fine when I came in, but that was, you know, you were after me, and then now it's turning more slushy and just, and it's not really up north. It's just to the south and to the west and all on, you know, the roadways, 55, I-80, 80-94.
It snowed pretty hard all the way into
88.
You know, I don't know, Damon on the Eisenhower, maybe?
Yeah.
And I got to the city and I quit.
Yeah. And then there's some light rain in some parts.
But wherever you have to go this morning, it's going to take longer. So I would say leave before now. You should have left a few minutes ago. So even if you're just in your underpants, run out to your car right now.
because you'll have to scrape if you're outside.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So start trick-or-treating now.
Oh, definitely.
Definitely.
Definitely start trick-or-treating right now. So it's along with the fact that the people that answer the door are going to be confused. They'll give you anything you want. They just want you to go away.
Especially if you're in your underwear.
Yeah, right? Absolutely. I'm looking at the radar right now, guys. It looks like the more moderate of the snow is off through, let's see, Aurora and Lombard, Naperville, down toward Shanahan, and then over to Ottawa. Just a band of, it looks like, moderate snow. So, and it's inching closer to the city as well.
You can hear it because you hear the music.
Right.
I'm going to hand out candy canes, I think, for Halloween instead.
Oh, no.
That's good.
Might as well.
It's beginning to feel a lot like Halloween. When I was in Minneapolis for a few years, the first year I think I lived there, 27 inches of snow on Halloween, 27 inches of snow on Thanksgiving a month later.
I recall in years past there have been Halloweens where the weather has been
dreadful. It's a little jarring.
Yes.
You know. Not that yesterday was a beautiful day, but anyway, you're waking up this morning, it's going to take a long time to get ready.
Yeah, so get up earlier. Give yourself a little bit more time.
You know what us helpful radio people say? Be careful out there and leave a little early.
allow some stopping time between vehicles.
Leave some extra space between you and the car in front of you to make sure that you don't run into them.
Is that your big dork voice?
I didn't notice a change.
No.
And what about windshield washer fluid?
Make sure you got plenty of windshield washer fluid in those windshield washer fluid containers in your car. Bring a little extra. Share with a friend.
I'll make sure your brake lights are working properly.
Oh, yeah, that's the one I always get. Make sure your lights are on. Well, people have automatic lights now, but some don't.
It's the point being, it's sort of pointless for us to remind you to be a grown-up. If you're outside, you'll see that it's snowing and drive appropriately. All right, we'll get to the top six here shortly. Before we do that, Steve, I thought the strike would have been over last night. I had a post-strike party planned, my sister and my nieces were specifically affected by this. She thought she was getting the girls out of the house. So my sister just called and yelled at me.
Oh.
And I said, it's not my fault. It's Steve's fault. And it looked like we're going to be done. So what happened last night?
Well, I know they're still talking. They were still talking last night, but they're just not that close. And, you know, the CPS says that there's now some new things that have been thrown into the works here, some new concerns or new issues that CTU has brought up. So they didn't get it done last night, but perhaps if we all remain optimistic, they are close enough that they can get something done today. It sort of felt like yesterday when we were leaving that they were headed toward a deal.
Yeah.
But something happened, and then the rhetoric last night I heard wasn't very helpful on either side as well, either. Made it sound like perhaps they were digging in for a longer strike. But let's hope that the talks that have been going on overnight have been productive.
We'll get extra traffic in this morning as needed. Mary, just wave your hands wildly whenever you need to update anything.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Get your kicks. with the top six at six.
All right, item number one goes like this. The teacher strike continues. 10th day of canceled classes. Yesterday marked the first day of classes that's going to have to be made up. There's a law that says there's got to be a minimum of 180 school days per year. And we're falling beneath that, underneath that now. After the 2012 strike, which lasted 7 days, CPS made up those school days by doing things like shortening the winter break, skipping a holiday, and adding days at the end of the school year. All fun, fun, fun.
Here's why I'm optimistic, Steve. The CTU president said yesterday, the teachers union president, that there has been a lot of progress. A lot has been achieved in negotiations over the last day or so. And he said that they can achieve a tentative agreement this morning and have a delegate vote this afternoon, and said it is very possible that that could happen.
Well, you would hope so. And also, there's additional pressure that's got to be coming to the union from the teachers. I think it's next Monday, if the teachers are not back at work, they lose their health insurance for the entire month. So, I mean, that's a problem. So I would think the teachers are saying to the union, we got to get this done. And that could be a factor as well. But, Steve, if you're right, I mean, maybe by the time we're off the air. Well, yeah. Now later this afternoon.
Yeah, so Let's keep our fingers crossed.
By the way, a senior at Taft High School. We haven't talked to many kids throughout this process, and we found a senior at Taft High School to talk to today, how it's affecting them. Next, Nationals forced to Game 7, one of the weirdest World Series ever. And the Nationals took it to Justin Verlander, who still hasn't won a World Series game. One of the great pitchers in baseball ever, not just active, ever. And he can't win a World Series game, and he didn't last night, and Kate Upton's super mad at him.
She's not at him. She was tweeting out baseball rules.
Yeah, she was upset over the interference call in the seventh inning.
So was I.
That people were saying it was the wrong call, and she said it was anybody can see it's the right call.
By the way, I would say to former Chicago and Davey Martinez and manager of the Nationals, if you had a heart attack a month ago and you came pretty close to a heart attack a month ago, let somebody else do the arguing for you.
He was a little intense.
He was out of his mind.
Yeah.
He got bounced. First time a manager's been thrown out of a World Series game since, I think, 96.
96, Bobby Cox. But here's the thing about that. That was after the inning. That was after
he went back out for more.
Hit a home run, and they had opened up a 3-run lead, and then he went out and argued.
Might need to adjust his meds.
Yeah.
You know what's interesting about that Bobby Cox ejection? He managed the Braves against the Yankees. The Braves had won games 1 and 2 in New York and then lost 4 straight, and he got ejected in game 6, just like Martinez did last night.
Wonder if he was watching old videos and he got nostalgic.
Could be.
Said, I'm going to pull a Bobby Cox tonight. Remember the Pinella story? Lou Pinella, manager of the Cubs, you remember, G? Because you're a big sports person. Lou Pinella, at one point, I'm sure he did this more than once, but he went up to the managers for a game, and I don't even remember who he was managing at that point. I think it may have been the Reds. And they were on a bit of a losing streak, and he went up to the four, you know, umpires who circle up at the beginning of a game, and he goes, somebody's throwing me out tonight. Who wants to do it?
Yeah.
He said, I'll go nuts wherever you want, but somebody's throwing me out tonight.
That's passion.
But they, Martinez, that was no act. That was no fire my team up. They were already ahead. He was bananas.
Well, they thought they had second and third.
With nobody out.
With nobody out. Yeah. Now they have got a guy on first with one out. But Rendon picked them up.
Rendon, who looks like the guy that goes, badges? We don't need no stinking badges.
I'll tell you, he is good.
How about Adam Eaton?
Adam Eaton's having a nice
Super
nice
Joe,
series.
You want him back on a White Sox?
I don't.
He's playing pretty well, buddy.
Yeah, the play on the field wasn't the problem here.
Super Joe's sports knowledge is impressive.
Well, that's where he comes from.
It's just super. Yeah. It's super power.
It's just one of the reasons he's super. Next is sports and business. The NCAA took the first step Tuesday towards allowing amateur athletes to cash in on their fame and maybe getting a little bit of fortune or enough for Friday night beer night. They voted unanimously, the NCAA did, to permit them to, quote, benefit from the use of their name, image, and likeness, the nation's largest governing body for college sports. And I would add, the most screwed up. And its member schools must now figure out how to allow athletes to profit while still maintaining rules regarding amateurism.
Yeah, see, there's still a lot to be worked out.
Yeah. Yeah, you think the school strike's going to take a while? I'll watch them try to figure out a plan here.
Yeah, one of the side problems here, too, I don't know if you saw this, but there's been talk, too, of having passing a law that students will have to pay taxes, student-athletes will have to pay taxes on their scholarships.
Well, I saw that. There was a tweet last night by it's a senator from North Carolina who tweeted, said he's going to propose.
That was Senator Foghorn Leghorn? Yes. I'll say.
Is that the one, Steve, that you were talking about? He says, well, if they're going to pay the athletes, then I'm going to put something in place where they have to pay taxes on that stuff.
They deserve to be paid. These schools are making much money off of them.
Well, but now here's the thing. I don't disagree with you, but here's the thing. If they deserve to be paid, where do you draw the line? I mean, does the kid on the foosball team, does he, you know...
If he can bring it in,
he can, though. Yeah. The kid on the foosball team can get paid.
Yeah.
He can
on YouTube channels.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Well, I mean, here's the other thing. It's let's say Steve Cochran, men's soccer star.
No question about it with my speed.
Right? Yep. So are you going to get an endorsement? Or is the second string tackle on the football team going to get an endorsement? I mean, there's this perception out there that all these businesses are just waiting to throw money at these kids.
Yeah, which is ridiculous.
The big issue is going to be, how are you going to control what recruits are going to be offered? Hey, you come play at A&M. And we're going to give you a car. Some sort of contract.
Could be a car. It all comes back to the NCAA now, and their, in my opinion, their incredible lack of properly governing these things. Because now a screwed up organization, my words, not yours, now has to figure out how to govern something which may be ungovernable.
Yeah,
and how to figure out something that's not going to destroy. College sports, not just the big sports. I mean, you know, you could argue that college football and college basketball are a mess already with, you know, the Kentuckys and basketball in the world, the Alabamas of football. But there's a lot to be figured out here.
And do the same rules apply to the so-called the Olympic sports as they do to the big revenue sports? So,
is there any amateurs left in the Olympics? I think we're the only country that actually sends amateurs.
Yeah, but even our amateurs aren't as amateurish as we grew up with.
Did they ever pass that rule in the Olympics where you could wear the steroid patch on your shoulder?
No.
Licensing? I'd like to see an Olympic athlete come out and they're wearing like a NASCAR fire suit. Patches all over them. Hey, next! Facebook has launched a new health-focused tool a few months after making its blood donation feature more widely available in the U.S. I didn't know this. Mary, you're our blood donor on the show. When you go to Facebook, do they take blood?
Huh?
When you sign on to Facebook, do they take your blood?
I don't get this.
It turns out that it's called Preventive Health, and it was designed to urge you to become more proactive about your health. The social network says you can use the tool on its mobile app to find out what kind of preventive screenings are recommended for your sex and age. Blood sugar, cholesterol tests, mammogram. U.S. health organizations are working with Facebook to get this done. And, you know, like, I don't know if it works or not, but reminding people they need to get checked out.
So it's just going to be like an ad that pops up and says, do this, do that, and test your blood sugar?
I think you sign on to Facebook, you sign on to Facebook and it says, hey, fatty, how about that cholesterol? Oh, move away from the eggs and pay attention. No, it's probably going to be like for instance, Blue Cross Blue Shield would send out those constant emails that say, hey, good news, we have a free service to tell you you're not taking care of yourself.
Yeah, and when you do give blood, by the way, you do get your cholesterol tested. Then let's send you a report afterwards. So, hey, do it. I'm doing it tomorrow.
And
Come join me.
You know what you don't want to hear from any medical professional after they've done your test? You don't want to hear this. Ooh. You never want to hear that sound. You never
want to
hear
it. Or you don't want them to. They're like, I'll be right back because they have to go consult with another doctor.
Before I'd found out about this blood condition that I have that causes blood clotting, which is, you know, very dangerous, I had to go to the emergency room. It's like 2005. And I didn't know why I was having trouble breathing at that point. And the emergency room doctor came in and went, well, it's not good.
Oh, wow. Blunt.
The big sigh and the sad face were kind of a key. But you do have to take care of yourself, and if Facebook helps you, good for them.
But you're good now. You've got that under control.
I truly am healthier than I've been in 20 years.
Way to go. Fantastic.
Yeah. So, and also balder.
That I noticed.
Next, nearly 2,300 cases of fresh Michigan apples in two bulk bins that were distributed in eight states, including Illinois, are part of the recall that's gone on because they're potentially contaminated with Listeria monocytogenes. Listeria monocytogenes bacteria, the company said in a news release. Look, this is bad news. This is like dinner for me. This is what I have for dinner. I have an apple.
Really?
I award myself like a horse. At night, that's pretty much it. I stop eating, you know, by 5 o'clock, and then, you know, I might have an apple.
I had no idea you were under such a strict regimen. I'm impressed.
Well, it's not that strict. It's just a timing sort of thing.
You still doing Seattle Sutton?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, then.
Meatloaf last night, but that was before.
That's why it's just better to have your apples in cider, hard cider.
All right. Dave, turns out you're right.
I had an Affy-Tabble. Does that count?
Not even close. And finally this, Sean Hodgins, a technical engineer and designer, has come up with the perfect solution for anybody struggling to choose just one costume for Halloween. Young Ross Cochran, when he was 3 or 4, I remember specifically him looking at me driving a car going, I know what I want to be for Halloween. I definitely want to be a cowboy.
And
I said, buddy, that's great. He goes, unless I want to be an astronaut. So this is perfect for any kid going through this. But it's, you know, you adults trying to figure out what to wear to the party. He designed and engineered, young Sean did, a face-changing projection mask that allows you to disguise yourself as anyone or anything until the battery runs out. It's based around a 3D-printed, low-poly, white plastic mask that's worn with the help of a welder's head strap. Sounds comfortable, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And finished off with a black hoodie and black pants. You will scare the living crap out of anyone that sees you. Oh, and that's your top 6 at 6.
That's it!
That's all today for the top 6 at 6.
No more!
All right, coming up, Carrie Conti on The Law.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
Karen Conti joins us. Karen Conti, attorney at law. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
Here's today's text question that I just thought of just seconds ago. What is your suggestion, 312-981-7200, what is your suggestion for a Halloween costume for everybody on the show or anybody on the station? Anybody on the air at WGN, what would you suggest as a costume for me, for Ro, for G, for Dave, for anybody? Bill and Wendy? Williams?
I'm thinking something from Alice in Wonderland.
You're always trying to get me an address. I don't know what that is with you.
I was thinking you'd be more like the Mad Hatter.
Yeah, mad would be the right word. All right, some good Halloween stuff here. Some cities are banning kids older than 8th grade from trick-or-treating. They're saying it's not going to be allowed. Can local municipalities, can they do that?
You know, I think they can. People are talking about age discrimination, but age discrimination really is reserved for people over 40. So, yes, you can discriminate against young people. I think the exceptions have to be if you have a special needs child who's a little bit older who wants to trick-or-treat. But certainly you can say that this is for kids and that you don't want older people going door-to-door asking for candy. It's kind of a silly rule, and kids want to trick-or-treat and they're a little older and they're in costume. Parents are doing it too with their kids, so I don't know. It's kind of silly to me, but I think it's constitutional.
If you ban a kid that's a freshman, but like super immature, what if they show up at your house anyway? It's not like the police have time to deal with that.
No, they don't. They really don't. I think this is just one of those laws that people pass just to kind of put a warning out that this is what they want to have happen. But I don't see anyone really going to jail over this.
What about schools banning kids from wearing costumes to school? And where's the line on offensive costumes?
Really tricky. If it's a private school, certainly they can make rules about anything they want. But when it comes to a public school, the First Amendment then applies because that's First Amendment applies to the government shall make no laws or rules regarding freedom of speech. So that's what we're talking about here, freedom of speech. If the school allows costumes, they have to be careful because they can't regulate the content. So if someone wants to dress as Donald Trump, they can't say you can't do that, but you can dress as Biden. So that would be something inappropriate. But they could probably say you can't dress as someone offensive because that might disrupt the school, that might disrupt what's going on in the school. I know some schools ban it altogether, saying that it's a religious holiday, which I'm not sure it is, and they say that, you know, we're not going to celebrate it because it's religion, and I think that probably is a way to get around the problems that you have when people dress with offensive costumes.
Well, if you recognize Halloween, don't you have to recognize all the pagan holidays, and then the whole calendar gets messy?
Oh, very messy.
Yeah. What if somebody, and we've heard about this, I'm not being flip here, what if somebody has a medical incident in a haunted house, like a heart attack or something?
You know, that stuff does happen. First of all, accidents happen all the time. People trip and fall, yeah. And they're usually sign a pretty good waiver on those kinds of things. But the waiver is not going to really apply when it comes to tripping and falling, because if you have a dangerous condition and you invite people in, actually you charge to have people come in, it should be safe. As to the heart attack part, I think you take that in your own hands. I think it basically is you are consenting to be scared, and you should know what your health is, and you should know that if you have a heart condition, you shouldn't be going in a haunted house. And I would say that that lawsuit would not pass muster.
Yeah, and I don't need to go into a haunted house to be scared. I just turn on CNN for about 15 minutes.
There are some scary ones, though.
If you've had what you consider to be ghostly activity in your house, paranormal stuff,
mm-hmm.
and you want to sell your house, if you fully believe your house could be haunted and you want to sell your house, I mean, you got to declare the leaks. You got to declare the fact that this doesn't work or that doesn't work. Do you have to declare that your house is haunted?
That's really interesting. In Illinois, you don't. It has to be something tangible, like if you know there's flooding or there's cracks in your foundation, that type of thing. But in Illinois, no, that's not something tangible, although there are certain states that have had rulings to the contrary. Like in California, I know that one court undid some contract because the person who was selling the house actually wrote an article about some famous person who was murdered there, who walks around at night with chains, and so they said, well, you know, you knew about this and you didn't disclose it. It was a material fact. You wrote about it and undid the contract. But I think those are rare, and generally speaking, you have no duty to disclose those ghostly figures.
This is why it's good to live in an apartment or a condo. You never hear about a haunted condo or an apartment.
There's got to be, though. There's got to be haunted condos.
No, there's never a haunted townhouse. It's always like a standalone home.
I'm thinking your house is, you're thinking your condo's haunted.
Absolutely not.
Because the assessments are scary enough.
I suppose so. All right, a couple other things happening, and this is a terribly sad story. We all heard about this cruise ship accident where this beautiful little 18-month-old was raised up to a window, apparently by her grandfather, and somehow he lost a grip or whatever, and she ended up falling out of the window, and she fell, was it 8 stories to a deck on the boat, and she died. It's a horrible nightmare. It's unimaginable. Now, criminal charges are going forward against this guy for, what is it, accidental homicide, or what? I don't know what the specific charge is.
I think they're calling it criminal negligence.
Okay.
And my understanding is that Puerto Rico is the entity that's charging. I guess this really upsets me because, you know, there's people who do things that are negligent. Let's just say that what he did was negligent. That doesn't always rise to the level of a crime. You know, some people just make mistakes. And this seemed to me to be a horrible mistake. There was no intent here. And criminal negligence is really, it's just a little bit more than regular negligence. It's basically endangering the safety of others in a place where you could have foreseen that something would have happened and you didn't take the actions to prevent them. Well, you know, the window was open. He didn't know the window was open. Whatever the facts were, he certainly didn't, you know, mean to do this. And it certainly wasn't foreseeable that, you know, I mean, in my view, that this was going to happen. The idea that you have lost a grandchild and now you're going to put this guy through a trial with the family.
It's a nightmare.
It's a nightmare. It doesn't make any sense. And here's my jaded picture of this. Perhaps the cruise line, who is obviously going to be sued by the family for having an open window or whatever it was they had, maybe Puerto Rico decided, hey, we're going to protect the cruise line, bring charges against the grandfather. If he is guilty, then how can the cruise ship be liable? So maybe this is something to do with money.
As a territory of the United States, are they governed by federal law?
They are, but they have their own laws when it comes to civil responsibility. And I'm not quite sure exactly, you know, their laws are a little bit different, but there's also maritime law that might also come into play. So it's kind of a murky area for me. I'm not quite sure. Cruise ships have kind of their own rules, but my understanding is that Puerto Rico was the entity that charged.
I think you're going to be pleased to hear that I've selected my costume for tonight. Again, text questions out there, and you can still suggest, because I could change. We all could change. Anybody that you know from WGN, what is your suggestion on what they should wear for Halloween tonight? I'm going as the notorious RBG, Ruth Bader Ginsburg. I put together a little something from the Big and Tall store and a wig, and it's going to be a good look for me, I think. So I'm feeling good about it, and it's a tribute really to you and RBG.
The resemblance is amazing.
What's the number at your office?
312-332-7800, or my special email if you have a legal question. It's WGN@AskKarenConti.com.
And you on Sunday night?
I'm not on Sunday night. I'm preempted for a few weeks, a lot of weeks, actually. But normally I'm on from 7 to 9 on Sunday evenings.
Well, you want to do a show there, hear the show, you got to go to Karen's office. And she does a show in her office occasionally.
That's right.
Appreciate you being on. Thank you.
Happy Halloween to everybody.
And to you, Karen County. All right, back on the Steve Cochran Show. This would be show number 1,477 in 370 days till Election Day 2020. Plan on it. Set it aside. Put it in your calendar now. Allow no excuses to keep you from voting. And of course, we might yammer about it once or twice between now and then. Again, an update. The school strike, 10th day, could be settled later this morning. We are waiting to hear, but development seemed to be headed in that direction. Of course, we thought that last night. So we'll see, but we're a little bit more hopeful, I would say, would be the way to put it. All right, texters chiming in. Halloween costumes for everybody. 630, Steve would be a good Cheshire Cat from Alice in Wonderland. But I'm allergic to cats, so would I be allergic to my costume?
You would be a good Cheshire Cat. Hmm. You could have that grin. Like, let's see. You got the grin?
You I don't really grin
smile.
Much, do I?
No.
Are we thinking that you would paint the whiskers on your face, or would you wear like a mask, like a cat mask?
No, yeah, maybe just the goat I have now. Just let it grow out a little more. I just kind of trimmed it up last night.
Be the cat, and then like have a necklace made out of Claritin and Allegra or something.
Interesting strategy. 224 says the whole show could go as the cast of Stranger Things.
Oh, loved Stranger Things.
708 sends a picture of Orion Samuelson standing next to Dick Biondi. It doesn't appear to be Photoshopped, and they said they should just go as each other. 847, Steve, you and the WGN kid should not dress up as anything. Halloween's an immature holiday, and it's become clear that society is putting more and more rules in place to diminish it. Ban Halloween.
Wow.
Strong.
Well, every party needs a pooper. That's why we invited 847.
Oh, what happened? Something tragic must have happened. There must be a sad story behind their Halloween.
I'll tell you, I know a lot of people who don't like Halloween.
Oh.
Who think it's gotten ridiculous.
Oh, like over the top.
Yeah, and
it used to be a kid's holiday.
That's the thing. Mm-hmm. It's not a kid's thing.
This year, it just seems a little less to me.
Yeah, it does. I agree.
I don't know what it is. No, not many parties I'm feeling, you know, with older people.
Yeah.
You have to hit that sweet spot with your costume. You can't underdo it, but you can't overdo it to the point that, you know, you look like you walked off of a movie set. Because then you're putting everybody else to shame.
Well, there's also a little bit of confusion calendar-wise this year. We have a lot of Indian folks who live in our neighborhood, and Diwali lights are up everywhere.
Festival of Lights.
Yeah, so you got Diwali lights up everywhere, where there might be these orange and black Halloween lights. Mm-hmm. So, you know, other parts of the neighborhood are orange and black, and these bright lights that sort of look Christmassy.
Halloween, Christmas.
Yeah, there's a lot going on.
Diwali mashup.
815, Steve ought to go as Elmer Fudd. Wascally Wabbit.
No, you'd have to carry a gun and they won't let you.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that.
Not allowed.
Steve, since you've been quoting Tom Skilling, you should be the weatherman at Grumpy Old Men. Hey, wait a minute. I think I was. Tom Skilling should be, I don't know what this is, a BB-8 from Star Wars? What's a BB-8?
Oh, that's a little round robot.
That's not nice.
Oh no, I didn't mean it. It is a round circle. It's a ball.
Oh, sure it is. But,
I'm
you know,
I didn't even
Tom's trying to get it back in shape.
I walked into that one. I didn't even think about it.
Well, you're so excited about it.
Well, because I knew who he was.
Yeah. You know, Super Joe, a big University of Michigan fan. I got you covered, dude. Harbaugh. You got to go as Harbaugh.
Oh, I already have the costume ready to go, buddy.
Yeah, khakis.
Khakis, yep.
Headset?
Headset, got it. Mm-hmm.
Good to go.
Sharpie, Michigan hat.
I mentioned our resident show Greek. Who would be the emphasis could be off a little bit there, Vivian, should go as legendary 70s TV detective Telly Savalas.
Ooh.
I don't see Kojak. Much of a resemblance.
Mm-hmm. Kojak. She has no idea who Kojak is. But
no,
Kojak
not
would be
even
great.
A clue.
We give her a bald wig and a lollipop. She's good to go.
No.
No? What do you mean no?
I wouldn't go as that.
It's the right answer, Viv.
Thanks, yeah. Mary.
Definitely. She was a lovely Wonder Woman. She spent way too much money on her costume.
It's just funny that you guys think this is a democracy.
She's going to be Wonder Woman for the next 5 years.
Make
how much money
ten.
She
make
spent.
Gee, I'm still working on an idea for you.
Just don't say be Carrie Ann Inaba on Dancing with the Stars, Judge. Everybody says
is that what people say to you?
Oh, yeah, because you'd have to fall off your chair like she did a couple weeks ago on the show.
People say, you guys look alike. And, you know, it's that whole we all look alike thing. I can say that, right?
Yeah, you can. Absolutely can say it. Yeah. 312-981-7200.
But she's beautiful. I mean, I wish I looked, you know.
You look like you know, it's kind of fun to compliment G because nothing in the world makes her more uncomfortable.
Move on.
Steve, I'm still working on an outfit for you as well. A costume, if you will. So we'll get back on that. And the listeners are chiming in, man. The listeners want you to know that they're out there. They're working it. And they have ideas. And as soon as I can get to them, I'll tell you what they are. Steve, I would love to see you dress in that cute little pink bladder on the pee-pee commercial. You know, the fake bladder?
Oh, my goodness. It is kind of a cute bladder. I don't even know how that sentence doesn't even make sense. But if you see the commercial, it makes total sense.
And the thing that rivals that is I like the big snot costumes as well. You know, the ones with the congestion ads, green blobs.
The mucus.
Yeah, the mucus. That's
mm-hmm.
it.
Great. Plus, that bladder's character always wants to leave.
Yeah.
Which, you know.
Right, exactly. 100%.
I'm out of here. Bye bye.
847, Steven, make a good Mr. Potato Head.
I'm noticing
that is perfect.
Hey, no, it's
I'm
not.
Sorry, but that is good.
I am noticing a theme here with these suggestions.
The insults for me you're talking about?
They involve characters that are usually bald.
Change your
tie.
Easy
part.
You could change a bow tie to another tie, you know, and then, well, you can't really change your ears and your nose. And
I have a cute set of ears and a cute nose.
You can do that, yeah. Mustache. Get the mustache thing.
We could be the toys from Toy Story.
Hat. You could wear your goofy hat you had on the other day.
That hat was such a hit.
Yeah.
847, Roe ought to be the town crier. And so it goes. 312-981-7200. Throughout the morning, costumes for the rest of us. Suggestions you have for what we should wear, what costumes we should wear. A bunch of people sent a Gilligan's Island cast. We did that.
We did that a few
years ago.
And I was Marianne.
We had to repost those photos, I suppose.
Andrea was Ginger.
That's exactly right. And she still thinks she is. News coming up from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom next.
It's snowing!
Let's go back to Mary Vandeveld here. It's a hot mess out there, yes?
Yes, as I just said. Yeah, it's like rain mixed with
snow. Well, you just said, but some people just turned their radios on, and now they need an update.
2 seconds ago, yeah. It's pretty bad. I mean, most of it's on I-80 in the tri-state, it looks like, and 55. Not as much up north, but it's still kind of dicey on the Kennedy.
And it looks like it's going to snow for a while, so...
That advisory is till 10, right, Steve, I believe?
It is till 10, yep.
Yes. Well, it's not going to get better anytime soon.
There's a picture, Nancy Liu from Channel 9 is doing a shot this morning somewhere on TV, and there's actually snow covering the ground in back of her.
Yeah, well, you had some in Naperville.
Snow covered, no question.
It's 2 to 4 now, they changed it. It was 1 to 3, now 2 to 4.
WGN has a special set. You know, that's filled with
snow. Oh, that's all green screen?
Yeah.
I don't know where my shovel is. We got to find shovels and plows. Here
now, you worked in the Channel 7 newsroom.
Yes.
How do they determine which reporter has to go out and stand on the overpass when it snows?
There's a regular, I mean, there's the overnight reporter, the early morning reporter.
It's basically the last one in. The last one in. The new kid gets to go stand there and get snowed on.
Well, yeah, unfortunately. It's tough work, you know, like being out there.
Well, it's part of the idiocy of TV news. Because it's snowing here. Back to you, Bob. You know, as you just see this poor reporter covered in it.
It's like, as you can see, I'm standing.
Yeah. Yeah. And don't they usually use the overpass? Like, is it Ohio or Ontario? It's like the closest one downtown that they run over to. To get a little traffic in the background and it's snowing.
The hardest thing is if there's nothing going on, but you've still got to go out there. That's the toughest part.
Do you have like a cameraman or a producer making noise in the background to make it sound like something's happening?
That would be good if they had those skills. What are those sound guys called? You know, that make all those.
Oh, yeah. With their Foley boxes.
Yeah, yes, the Foley. Yeah.
All right, we're expecting.
Later, loser.
I just said it.
Later, loser.
Donald Trump's ringtone.
Later, loser.
For me. You actually had federal agents that set it up on my phone.
Nice of you.
One more?
Later, loser.
Good morning, Mr. President.
Good morning, Cochran. Hey, good news. I just found out you can get your congressional subpoenas pumpkin spiced. Did you know that?
I did not know that. No, you made me snort.
Now, hey, look, before you try to get into your Anderson Cooper gotcha-style line of questioning, yes. I have to tell you that that is some city you got there. I'll have you know that I received a very warm welcome from your mayor, Mrs. Gordon Lightfoot.
Well, it's Lori Lightfoot.
Such a nice lady, yes. And very talented, mind you. I mean, how many people can say they wrote Rainy Day People and run a city? Tremendous achievement. Now, as far as your police superintendent, not so much. I'm not very impressed.
Eddie Johnson, oh, we like him.
Yeah, that's the guy. He didn't even show up to meet me at my speech to the police. He didn't buy me a burger at Fatso's Last Stand or nothing. Very disrespectful, Cochran. So sad.
The burger, of course, would be currency. Now, let's move on. First and foremost, congratulations on getting the leader of ISIS, al-Baghdadi, and his number two guy.
Yes, getting Al Big Bad Voodoo Daddy was a tremendous victory. You know, our special forces did an amazing job, Cochran. But I will tell you, since I'm the commander-in-chief of the military, I'm pretty much a shoo-in to get the Medal of Valor for myself. You know, I really am.
I'm looking forward to you pinning it on your own chest.
Yes.
I don't think that's not how it works, though, is it?
Well, you do realize I mapped out the entire raid for my special forces with the Sharpie, don't
you? Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah, my trusty Sharpie. I'm tremendous at strategy, believe me. And watching the raid in real time was amazing. You know, frankly, I haven't seen an enemy destroyed that bad since NBC canceled Arnold Schwarzenegger's The Apprentice. But seriously, I rate Al Bag of Donuts' death a solid 10. Just like the women in my life. Nothing less than a 10, Cochran.
It's a very important number to you. Speaking of the women in your life, happy birthday, Ivanka.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, she's my favorite, in case you didn't know.
That's apparent.
Yeah. Ivanka has a bigger credit allowance at Saks Fifth Avenue than Melania. Just don't tell Melania.
No, sir. Listen, how about that incredibly brave military service dog who was right there in the middle of the raid with the special forces?
Very impressive animal. Wonderful dog. I could tell you the dog's name. You know what? It's classified.
Well, we understand. You can't talk about it.
No, the dog's name is classified. Oh. I invited him to the White House. Here, classified. Here, boy.
Mr. President, we heard a former Obama White House photographer suggested that the photograph of you and Pence and the defense secretary and the joint chiefs in the Situation Room was staged. What do you say to that?
Definitely not staged. And Mike can back me up on this, right, Mike?
Oh, heavens no, sir.
It was the tense moment right before we made the final decision to pull the trigger on the mission. Yep. We couldn't decide whether to order KFC on Uber Eats or DoorDash. Very intense moment.
I understand, yes,
and the fact that the Joint Chiefs were hangry didn't help matters very much.
I'm sure it didn't. Now, what do you think of Speaker Pelosi bringing a vote on impeachment procedures in the House tomorrow?
Oh, just perfect. I mean, what better day for this massive witch hunt to be officially kicked off than on Halloween? Just ridiculous. Total hoax. Total hoax.
Mr. President, we saw you Game 5 of the World Series. Unless Barron wasn't there. But anyway, you got boos from the crowd. I mean, that couldn't have been any fun.
Well, I can explain that. That's not what happened at all exactly. Okay, I wasn't getting booed. It was just thousands of people all saying boo to wish me a happy Halloween.
Okay,
it was,
sure.
It was either that or yeah. They were saying Lou, since Lou Dobbs from Fox Business was there in our suite, too.
Oh, Lou. Listen, that makes a lot of sense, sir. Now, the other day, you passed out Halloween candy. I guess it was yesterday at the White House. Sir, we saw you with that little dude from the movie. You know the one I'm talking
That's
about?
That's right, the Minion guy.
The Minion guy, and you put candy bars on top of his flat head? I don't know what was happening there.
Looked like it was the right spot to do it.
Well, how did it go?
Well, I will tell you, with my huge hands, the candy bars looked like they were fun size. Fun size. At first, I was just going to skip the candy and give out constructive criticism for Halloween. Like, hey, Cochran, can you give the temperature more often? I want to know if I need to wear an extra layer at my outdoor rally
tonight.
Sure.
Yeah.
That rolls right off the tongue, see?
Well, I definitely appreciate notes on the show, so you get those to me as fast as you can. Is anyone dressing up for Halloween over there in Washington?
Oh, of course. Yeah, my three sons, Donnie, Eric, and Baron, have great costumes picked out. Yeah, they're going to go as quid, pro, and quo. Very exciting. But it's one of those thinker costumes, you know? If they're not walking up to the house in the right order, it totally doesn't work.
I see that, yeah.
Now, let's see. Mike Pence has a very convincing costume. Yeah, he's going as an albino robot. Aren't you, Mike?
Well, no, sir. I'm not wearing a costume at all.
Oh, yeah. No, right. I knew that, Mike. And that lying congressman, Adam Shifty Schiff, uh-huh. He's planning to wear a huge adult diaper for his costume. Shifty Schiff, he's going as a leaker for Halloween. Did
well,
you know that?
You got it all figured out. Hey, I have one for you. Maybe take this up as a suggestion. Mick Mulvaney, maybe just a giant pair of lips.
There you go. Yeah, I'll write that. I'm going to write that down. Write that down, Mike.
Got it, sir.
Mr. President, we heard you're going to be heading back to New York to watch the UFC fight at Madison Square Garden. Is that accurate?
Oh, yes, it is. I can't wait to see the UFC at the Garden this weekend. After spending so much time in Washington, it'll be nice to finally see people being civil and polite to each other.
Understandable. I'm getting the signal that you have to go. Is it a busy morning?
Oh, hugely busy. Lots of things to deflect and spin.
I understand. All right, we'll leave it there. Thanks for calling, President Trump.
Happy Halloween, loser.
Well, that's a switch up. It's nice to know that if we continue these calls, he'll have holiday greetings.
Yep. Yeah, that felt a little nicer than in the past. It's not the normal later loser situation.
Happy Halloween, loser.
There's a happy involved.
Texts continue to come in. Suggestions on Halloween costumes. What do you think G should go as?
Oh, my goodness.
Steve Grzanich should go as his 847 Cookie Monster.
I love it.
Oh, okay. Ooh, that's good.
I think he's done the Cookie Monster voice on the air. That might have
219, put a crack in that big head of yours, Steve, and go as a hard-boiled egg.
Oh, another one of the, about the round
you
head.
Can't do Humpty Dumpty anymore because you're so skinny now.
Yeah, I'm the anorexic Humpty. Mm-hmm. 312-901-7200. Text it up and let me know what you think. Anybody here, including people that no longer work here. But they should go to Halloween because I'll call them and tell them. Texters continue to chime in. Here's one for, I think this is for Ro. Tie a bow around yourself, then get a big gift tag and write "To Women from God." You'll be a gift from God.
Oh.
Not bad.
630. Steve, you could be the invisible man, Mike Madigan. I just show up. I don't actually show up in a room, and I don't talk to anyone. And people go, "Look, Steve's Mike Madigan. He never shows up for anything."
Would there be the sound of crickets in the background?
You could be a cricket.
I could be a cricket. That's a good idea. 708. Steve could go as Mr. Clean.
Another bald guy.
Oh, that's a good cast one here. 847. We should all go as the 2020 presidential candidates.
Okay, who's who?
Oh boy.
I think I've got Bernie Sanders.
I guess I have to be...
No, you don't.
I guess I'll have to be Andrew Yang.
See, now your profile.
Joking at herself. That's good.
Texters, I'm blaming Dunkin' Donuts for the nasty snowy morning. A new cup started today, and they sent a picture of the cup. It's the Christmas snowflake cup.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, that's pretty.
It's too early.
630, has Mary ever gone as a traffic cone?
No, but my daughter's gone as a barricade.
That would be adorable.
Yeah,
Mary,
I made it. It's amazing for her. Traffic cone's good. I got one right outside Traffic Central. I could just put it on my head.
There you go.
I'll wear it tomorrow. There you go. Thank you, caller.
Andrea Darla should go as a flu shot.
I saw her last night. She says hello.
She would despise herself.
773 for Halloween. Steve should go as Mancow. Yeah, well, that ain't happening. Mancow could go as John Lovitz. Remember the liar from Saturday Night Live?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the ticket.
608. If you don't need to go outside, please don't. Pay no attention to the fact that I'm standing outside on TV. Yeah, that's a good point. People outside, standing outside going, do not do what I'm doing currently.
That's like the ones in tornadoes and everything.
Yes.
Right, storm chasers.
Yeah.
The cast from Anchorman, another suggestion for everybody here. These are costume contest costume suggestions, I should say, from you fine folks. Let's see. Some of these I've already covered.
Yeah.
Some of these are already covered. All right, let me jump to this. Big Candy Day. And I make no secret of the fact that, in fact, that I have a serious, I'm saying fat was funny there, a serious chocolate Jones.
You really do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you'll, you somehow always have, like, you know, little fun-sized chocolates.
I can't
and
wait.
Sometimes
till
if I can't find them, I go through the salespeople's desk until I find
Is
something.
That where you go? I was wondering, because you'll kind of, you'll take a little break.
Oh, no. When I leave the studio, it's for very important reasons. I don't just walk around. Here's your top 10 most favorite candies. A Hershey bar. Hershey bar's great. Nothing wrong with a Hershey bar. Classic.
I like them with almond.
That's for good, too. Mm-hmm. Skittles comes in at 9.
Taste the rainbow.
Skittles was my name when I was an exotic dancer, by the way. 8, Sour Patch Kids. 7, the new Butterfinger. Steve, didn't you and I have a discussion about the new Butterfinger?
We did, and I think I may have told you that they have something in the fun size now. It's a Butterfinger patty. It sort of looks like a...
like a peppermint patty?
No, it looks more like a Reese's cup, but it tastes like Butterfinger.
Hmm.
And it is delicious.
Yeah, that is good. The only thing, the new Butterfingers crumble easier, I think.
Oh, I thought they were supposed to be creamier.
The patty is creamier, like peanut butter. It's sort of like a peanut butter cup. And wow, there were some of them in here. I ate all of them.
Yeah, I opened the package. It fell all over my desk.
I'm alerting dads to this list because I want dads to know, you know, what the go-tos are. Because what will happen is if you have little kids, you go, I need to go through your bag to make sure that there's nothing in there that could be troubling. And then you take all the good stuff. 6 is Nerds.
Ugh.
Pure sugar.
5, M&M's. Well, there's like 80 flavors of M&M's now. Which ones?
I like
any of them.
I love the ones
they're
with
all
almond.
Good.
And the crispy ones, too.
Peanut butter. I like those mint M&M's. They make those anymore?
I think once in a while. Christmas, don't they?
I've never had those.
4 is a Kit Kat. Kit Kat's great because you can break off a couple and feel like you're not eating the whole thing.
Nerds and Sour Patch Kids made the top 10.
Top 10.
That's kind of crazy.
Twix in at 3. I don't agree with Twix. I like a Twix, but I don't see it as high as number 3. I've got to question that.
I feel like Kit Kat and Twix should be
They're
reversed.
Like the same thing almost.
Yeah.
Number 2, Snickers.
Yeah.
And number 1, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. You know, there's not a Three Musketeers on there. And who doesn't like a little nougat in their life?
Or Baby Ruth.
Yeah.
Here's your 10 worst, and I agree with most of these. 10, Bit of Honey.
Oh, yeah. You'll break a tooth on that, by the way.
No good. 9, Good and Plenty. You know what that should be called? Less. Less. Good and less.
I like the
less
lyrics.
And less.
About Choo Choo Charlie? You going to put him out of business?
No good.
Choo Charlie was
8, Licorice. The strawberry licorice is great. The Twizzlers? You can't beat a Twizzler.
Twix? Twizzlers?
I love Twizzlers. But I love them at the movie theater. I don't want them in my Halloween candy bag.
7, Smarties. Smarties are good when there's nothing else. 6, Tootsie Rolls. Oh, don't besmirch the great Tootsie Roll. Tootsie Roll's great.
Takes a while for it to soften up so you can, like, chew it.
A Tootsie Roll cost me about $5,000 9 years ago.
I bit into one and broke a tooth.
Whoa.
5, Necco wafers, 4 wax cola bottles. This is the bad list.
Necco wafers. Ooh.
3, peanut butter kisses. Anything with peanut butter is better. 2, Circus Peanuts. They ought to be outlawed. And number 1 is candy corn.
No way.
Where's wax lips? Those are the worst.
Where's Mary Jane's? Those are the worst.
Yeah, they're not good. You're not lying. Brian.
Hey, good morning.
How you doing, man?
Lovely. I'm just curious why they call them fun size when they're so small.
That's exactly right. They should be called where's the rest.
Yeah, exactly.
100%, Brian. 100%. Give Brian everything on the prize list or something you want to give him. It's 7:30, and it's time now for the news. Steve will update you, and Mary will tell you about the cars. I'm just laughing at you guys. Some funny bald jokes coming in. Taking suggestions on Halloween costumes. On what, you know, not just me, but what everybody should wear. I haven't heard anything on Williams or Bill and Wendy. How about that? Right?
Yeah.
Justin?
But it's so much more fun to think of costumes for you.
Well, we're running out of bald people. I'm telling you that right now. 312-981-7200 is the number. Keep those texts coming in. All right. The teacher strike. 10 days in, and starting with today, any more missing days will have to be made up. But those 9 days, you can't get back. And I wanted to talk to someone who actually is most affected by this, and that's the kids that go to school. Sydney Partika is a senior at Taft and joins us this morning. Good morning to you, Sydney.
Hi, how are you?
I'm okay. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me on here. I really appreciate it.
Of course. Tell me how you feel. I mean, are you missing school?
Yeah, currently it's the 9th day, and now it's really irritating that we're not back in school. I thought this strike was going to be over by last Monday, and nope, we're still not in school.
Your senior year is generally, it's not for everybody, but generally it's so much fun, you know? And those are memories that you'll have for the rest of your life, and you're not going to get those 9 days back.
Yeah, especially because I'm also a student athlete, and I'm missing some of the most important meets of my life right now.
Tell me about that. Are you track you're talking about?
Cross country.
Okay, so tell me what you're missing.
So the Saturday that just happened, we're supposed to have our regional meet, and unfortunately, due to the CPS strike, we cannot have that because in the IHSA rulebook, CPS athletes aren't allowed to compete in state final meets if CPS is on strike. Therefore, runners across the city were not able to compete in the regional meet, which means that we cannot advance to sectionals or the state final meet.
So you're done. It ends all of that, which I'm sure you've spent training time and time just thinking about and looking forward to.
Yeah, the past 4 years, and I know I can't say I'm the only one. We've put in so much hard work, and it's just over like that. And it's extremely devastating to think that.
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that.
It's just because something that's out of our control happened, and there's nothing we can do about it.
So Sydney, have you solidified plans for where you're going to be next year, or is this strike affecting that planning process for you?
I haven't officially decided where I want to go yet, but it definitely sucks because a lot of my college apps are due by November 1st, and some of the things I need help with, and I can't reach out to my counselors because I'm not allowed to contact any CPS workers because they're on strike, and if they contact us back, they can get in trouble. So it's very inconvenient.
I don't understand that entirely. Is that, and Steve, chime in on this if you know, is that because that weakens the position if the teachers are reaching out to the kids for some reason? I don't get it.
Yeah, it feels like it might be just an organizational kind of thing where the teachers are supposed to not be working at all, and so in order not to violate that labor issue where a strike is concerned, they can't have contact.
Sydney, do you see both sides and where the teachers are coming from and where the problems might be with the city, or are you feeling more frustrated with one position over the other?
I'm overall frustrated with the whole thing because I agree with CPS to a point, but then I don't agree to a point. I don't like the political side pretty much. And now I just wish we were back in school. It's kind of getting annoying and repetitive that they're not coming to an agreement. And I think, both sides are at fault. So.
Well, well said. Here's the thing. If you have a disagreement with your friend or friends, what do? You talk it out. And you have something you might need, and they have something they might need, and you meet in the middle. The only reason this is taking as long as it's taking is because both sides want to increase the pressure to get their needs met. The city only has so much to give. The teachers have very legitimate wants that they have, but you guys are caught in the middle. So I certainly understand it. I'd be aggravated as hell if I were you.
Yeah, exactly. I'm at this point, it's so annoying. And this is probably a first, but I just want to be back at school right now.
Are you a pretty good student?
I would like to say so, yes.
I mean, you work hard in school. You're supposed to be in school. You ought to be able to go to school. And you know what? Just because you're 17 or 18 years old doesn't mean you can't say this. You're the grown-ups. Figure it out.
Yeah, exactly. It shouldn't be taking this long.
Sydney, do your friends feel the same way you do? Have you guys been in contact and talking about the situation?
Oh, yeah, for sure. All my friends feel the exact same way I feel, and not only my friends, but kids from other schools that I know. Everyone just wants to go back to school at this point.
Well, look, I appreciate you coming on and talking about it because, as I said, we hadn't talked to a lot of kids, and you guys are the center of this. There's a lot of well-meaning folks in the middle of it, but as you've very well stated, once you get politics involved, it's a whole different thing. And I hope it gets solved today. There's some reason to be optimistic that this could get fixed today. And there's some additional pressure that's coming on CTU by next week. So I hope both sides win. That's the best negotiation. But right now, the losers, unfortunately, are you guys. I shouldn't say losers. That's the wrong word. The victims
right.
are you guys. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry about what you missed. I really am. I wish I could do something about that because that's not fair.
Yeah, but thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. Thanks, Sydney. Thanks for being with us.
Good luck rest of the way. Sydney Partika, senior at Taft, two-time state qualifier for cross country.
This is what is so irritating to me. I used to coach cross country, and all mm-hmm. my kids ran cross country, and they are the hardest working kids. I mean, I hate to say that for, you know, other sports, but as far as cross country, who wants to do cross country? It is hard,
sure.
you know. And
yeah, because here's what you do. Run.
You run. But
go and run now.
And you go on long distance runs. Every week you have mm-hmm. to run so far, and you know, it's a big on your body. It's I can't talk enough about the kids. And most of these kids have the highest scoring. You know,
academically as well.
Mm-hmm. in the school. And it's true what she said. If you don't compete in the regional, you don't move on to the sectional, you don't go to state. And oh my gosh, it's so heartbreaking.
Yeah, it's just a bad set of dominoes that are
yeah.
falling
yeah,
for all these
exactly.
kids.
Exactly. And that happens to, you know, it's happening to the football teams as well. But I thought they had a chance. Don't the football teams have a chance to play or something?
Yeah, they do. Yeah. But I think it has to be like today.
If they decide today, yeah.
And so have the conspiracy theory started yet that it's being solved because of football season?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There you go. But it's not going to help the cross-country kids.
I know. That's so unfortunate.
Well, and, the big picture, too, is what G brought up. I mean, I worry about these kids who have to get early admission college apps in mm-hmm. by November 1st.
And they need help, and these counselors can't help them.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. And isn't there a FAFSA deadline? It's the same thing?
It just feels
the parents.
Mm-hmm. It just yeah. feels like, it's like kids that get caught in a divorce. It's just, like they're the victims and they're suffering the most.
Yeah, I mean, at some point it goes from legitimate negotiation to stubborn for the sake of being stubborn. I'm not saying it's that simple.
Right. But and we get it that the teachers are fighting for students, too.
Well, and I get that the city's only got so much money. But
absolutely.
In 10 days... That's more than enough time to find an agreement.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, 7:50. Let me grab a quick phone call here. 312-981-7200 is the number. Good morning, Dan.
Hey, Steve. Quick question. Obvious question. Why is it legal for them? Why don't they rewrite the law so that the kids can participate in sports if we're on strike?
100%.
And then also, why don't we rewrite the law and make it so that if the teachers go on strike, they have to do it during the summer. They can't do it during the school year. I mean, this is ridiculous. Thanks, Steve.
Appreciate you calling, man. Thank you. The not doing it in the summer thing is because the leverage that the teachers have by doing it during the school year would not be a part of the equation. So you therefore, in theory, would take the power of a strike away. Mm-hmm. Having said that, there ought to be a way to not penalize kids from whether it's sports or academics that they've worked hard to be a part of, just because the teachers decided to go on strike and the city has decided to fight it. That wouldn't be hard to fix. Why would that be hard to fix? Anyone? Bueller?
I totally agree with the caller. Mm-hmm. I think they should let the kids play, be at the meets and at the finals and everything else that they've worked so hard for all year round.
I can see when they can't participate because they were absent from school because they were sick or some other weird, lame excuse. But when they are not allowed to go to school, it's not their fault.
There should be an exception written in for these type of situations.
Remember that health insurance is going to expire for teachers in just a matter of days.
Yeah, that's they don't want to be striking.
Yeah, what if some of them are pregnant?
They're running out of money.
That could be fun.
No, they're not getting paid. Health insurance is...
And by expired, I mean they'll lose it for the entire month of November unless they're working on, I believe it's November 1st. I think that's right. Another helpful listener called and said the teachers have been locked out of their own email, their official CPS email. So even if they wanted to communicate with kids, they couldn't do it because their network would be shut down. Some more texters, 847, do teachers get paid during the strike? Steve, do they get strike pay?
No, they do not.
No.
They do not get a dime.
No strike pay.
Nope.
Mm-hmm. 847, legal liability is the reason that kids can't compete without the schools being a part of it. Somebody told me this the other day, because what I said is, if you have parents who are willing to drive, and you have volunteers that are willing to chaperone...
Yeah, for you don't have buses.
Yeah, why can't they go? And they said because the liability would still be on the school since they're competing as a school team.
Oh, great.
Sign a waiver.
Just
make
it.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Yeah, and sadly, there has to be some negative consequences to a strike, too, and that's one of the things that could be, I mean, theoretically be used to forestall a strike, is to say, well, we don't want to have this negative impact on kids. If you take that out of that, that might change some of that negotiation, some of that strategy in the future. If you don't have to worry about the kids, you might be on strike longer. You know?
Yeah, I see. Yeah, I see what you're saying, but you would hope again to speak for the young lady that we just had on that the grown-ups actually be the grown-ups and figure it out.
Especially when teachers lose their pay and their health insurance, I don't think they want to be on strike that long.
No, they definitely don't want to be.
630, it's been going on for 10 months. Nobody concerned themselves in the previous months about the negotiations and how important it is. Let's not kid ourselves. Both sides have known what the other side would be arguing against. Both sides have known what they wanted. Both sides have held their ground. And both sides have a point. But it's got to end. You know, and there's nothing that's come up that couldn't be decided in 10 days. There just isn't.
Well, and I think, too, that, you know, we were discussing when we were discussing the strike early on, in the long run, we think that it's going to be much more difficult for CTU to explain a strike that lasts for this long. It's going to be a lot harder, I think, to maintain that for them to maintain what their goals are to the public, especially with so many frustrated students and parents.
Right, and the unfair thing is teachers are the front line, so teachers get blamed first. It's like being customer service at O'Hare on a snowy day. What do you mean the plane's not flying?
Exactly. Ultimately, the teachers are going to look bad, whether that's right or not.
I'm just trying to go through some of these as fast as we can here. Nice young lady you spoke with, I feel the strike will be settled today since the teachers will lose their health insurance, it says here, by Friday. Somebody else suggested the teachers can apply for COBRA for the month of November.
COBRA is so expensive.
It really is, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And, I mean, not having health care and something bad happens to you, that can, if, man,
no,
that could
COBRA.
Ruin you financially, you know.
Or if you're on some sort of medication or on some sort of care that you need continue, you know, medical.
Insulin.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've been a junior who wasn't allowed. I've got a junior who wasn't allowed to take her PSAT. There are also kids who still miss out on scholarships because of this strike. Why couldn't the strike go through arbitration? You know, that's another thing. You know, you hopefully learn from how things are done or done and problems come up or done poorly. And there ought to be a leverage for arbitration that kicks in after a certain amount of time.
And I think that was one of, Steve, wasn't that one of the city's complaints, was that there were just so many people at the bargaining table, too.
Well, both sides have pretty sizable bargaining units, but the teachers' union says they want to have these teachers on these bargaining committees so that they can analyze these offers as they come in. The more eyes looking at it, the more they can look for possible areas of agreement or disagreement, as it may be. But they've put it off as a very positive thing to have this many people on the negotiating team.
And several texters point out too. Imagine how it's going at the underserved schools.
Yeah,
because there's safety issues that you don't have in other schools. Raymond, you got to help on this insurance question?
Yeah, so we almost ended up going on strike. I teach out in Addison. And what we were informed is that if they were to take away our health insurance, we would get COBRA, and then legally the school district has to reimburse once the strike is settled.
Oh, they would cover the COBRA?
Yes.
Got it. All
so
right,
you would pay it out of pocket initially, and then they would reimburse you.
All right, I appreciate it. Thank you. Yep, have a good day, and we'll come back with your news from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom next.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey.
Dean Richards, it's time once again for the Feature America Demands. From coast to coast and sea to shining sea. They get up every morning and they say, I need my coffee and I need my morons. Moron entertainment. Right, Dean? Right.
Dean's in
Do I need to pretend to be Dean? I could be Dean for Halloween. Hi, Steve. I'm traveling all over the globe. I'm here on the red carpet interviewing... Robert De Niro.
It's almost like you're channeling it.
Robert Redford. All the Roberts.
So crazy.
Robert Duvall. Oh, how many Roberts could I name?
Bob Culp.
Oh, yeah. I like where you're going with that.
You have a Halloween seance to sort Pattinson. Of summon Dean from wherever he's at?
Mm-hmm. Hello.
Yeah, we had switches on our end that were not in the proper switch place.
Hello. Hello.
Dean,
hello.
One of the text question today is, what should the WGN staff wear as Halloween costumes? Anybody from here, present or past, what should they wear? And I hope the texter just chimed in that you and I should be two French men.
Mm. I do not know what you are talking about. It is a that is ridiculous.
Eat your brie and your camembert.
That's what we should
knock,
go as.
Knock, knock. Tweet or tweet?
We should go as brie and camembert.
Well, that's not bad. Yeah, yeah. You would not believe the ball jokes that have been coming in this morning about me. And by the way, any of these could apply to you, so I should share them with you.
Hmm.
Let's see here. Steve could go as Bull from Night Court.
That ain't right.
How about the bald guy from Adam's Family? You mean Uncle Fester? Yeah, okay.
Stephen Colbert last night did something funny. They were the president and Melania were passing out candy to kids in front of the White House, which is just funny to watch it because kids were just walking right past them, not even taking the candy. It was just funny. But at some point, and they were playing the Addams Family music, which was weird. But then at a point, Colbert puts up a picture of Uncle Fester, but it's Rudy Giuliani's face in Uncle Fester.
That's pretty funny.
That was very funny.
Rudy could actually carry it off.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Steve should be Captain Underpants, bald head, red cape, and tidy whities.
Hmm.
You describe what I wear to work 3 days a week.
That's very graphic. Someone has a vivid imagination.
And 630, all Ro needs is a straitjacket. The rest he takes care of.
Oh, don't. I'm thinking about going as Jesse Sharkey.
Oh, that's not bad. It's very topical.
I like topical costumes.
Very topical.
Just got to find some red stuff.
We have a certificate for a desktop pre-lit sports-themed artificial tree from Tree Time Christmas Creations in Lake Barrington. Aren't you going to do a show out there in a couple weeks?
I'm going to be doing it on November the 10th because I love being at Tree Time on Veterans Day.
Here's the weird thing. Dean comes back. He smells like Dutch elm for like 6 months.
Yep.
With a little twist of pine in there, too.
Nice.
Hints of pine.
But then explain what I smell like when I leave Tree Time. And why are you smelling me anyway?
Well, it's just part of my thing. Oh. All attendees get a special 15% Dean discount off everything that day as long as you're there.
Wow.
Yeah, that's good. All right, do you like haunted houses?
I like haunted houses.
Yeah, I don't.
I haven't been to one in a long time, but I used to enjoy them.
I'm a big fraidy cat. There's a place called McCamey Manor in Summertown, Tennessee. And if anybody's ever been to this haunted house, I'd like to know. Because before you even think about stepping outside, there are several requirements. You've got to be 21 or older. You've got to complete a sports physical. You have to pass a drug test. You have to provide proof of medical insurance. You have to be screened by phone. And you have to sign a 40-page waiver.
Wow.
If that doesn't scare you off, well, then come on in. The visitors must then watch a two-hour video called And Then There Were None, which features footage of every visitor from July of 2017 through August 2019 so far, quitting before the end of the experience with a phrase at the end, you really don't want to do this, we're telling you right now. For those who actually enter, they are greeted by and accompanied by actors who can touch them, but they can't touch them back.
Yeah, like that's going to happen.
They are a scary, beyond scary, physical and mental challenges at every turn. This can be an aggressive experience. Our actors will come in contact with you. You cannot contact them in any way, shape, or form. Hypnotism plays a part in the process. The experience can take up
Hypnotism?
Yeah, the experience can take up to 10 hours.
Oh, my goodness. This is...
If anybody completes it...
Interrogation.
They'll level. Win $20,000 in cash. Okay. No one has ever completed it.
Sign me up. I'm ready to go.
You know what's the weird thing is I have exactly the same requirements when I do my show at Tree Time. And Lake Barrington.
So there's a video and it ends with you don't want to go in there? That doesn't seem right.
People. I did have to go to Hell's Gate Haunted House in Lockport.
Okay.
That was the scariest haunted house ever. They have live actors, and it's movie-grade makeup and costuming, and it's frightening.
What are they going to do? I mean, it's they get into your mind with these, sign the contracts, and, you know, all that stuff. What are they going to do? Like, all they're going to do is jump out at you and...
You know, if they came to me and said, haunted house is going to take 10 hours to get through, I said, I'll give you $20,000 to never call me again. But anyway, if you've ever been to that haunted house in Summertown, Tennessee, or know somebody that has, 312-981-7200. All right, what caller do you want to go with the big Tree Time?
I love caller 7.
Caller 7 right now. 312-981-7200, your big winner. And we come back with many things on Dean's mind. Many, many things. Wouldn't it be great if I knew what those things were?
Oh,
I
had the like list right here. There's a new HBO streaming service that's going to start.
Oh, yeah, HBO Max, Ricky Martin, John Witherspoon, Kevin Hart, Bill Murray.
Very sad news about comedian John Witherspoon.
Good dude. And Robert De Niro, Dean's new best friend. All coming up.
You'll be calling his name.
D-E-N-I-R-O. Dean loves Robert De Niro. He's his new best friend. True story, isn't it, Dean? You and De Niro hanging out? Can't be stopped. By the way, before we continue with Dean, you went to the Leguizamo show last night. John Leguizamo?
I did. I sure did.
And it's called?
Latin History for Morons.
And you saw her friend Anna there.
Yes, I saw her. I saw Andrea. Lots of press folks. It was a phenomenal show. It's unbelievable.
Usually opening night or the second night is free tickets for the media night, and right. Everybody will go.
Yeah, and it was so brilliant, so well done, and the fact that he wrote it, and it's just a one-man show. And there were some technical glitches and some big ones, and he managed to overcome them. Like it didn't derail his performance.
Well, that's
at all.
The beauty of being a stand-up, able to rock and roll with
it. Yeah, you can do anything. I was not there, by the way.
Missed you.
You know who was there? Anna
was... was there, and many other WGNers were on hand. I had another commitment, so I'm going to catch it another night. But here's what I heard about the show, and this isn't to say that, you know, it's bad. I have no opinion because I haven't seen it, that it's not like a laugh a minute. It's at times quite serious.
Mm-hmm.
And like a thinker. It's you know, you're required to think during this.
Absolutely. There was one moment where I got misty-eyed, teary-eyed. It takes you all over the place.
Much like this segment.
Yeah. Well, when Leguizamo was leaving, I said to him, I said, look, I'd like to see it. But one, if it starts after noon, I get tired. And secondarily, I know everything. Just ask me. So he said, well, we'll send you notes. Because when he came in here, he was nothing but great.
And we're going to sue him anyway because he's using the moron
that's right.
Yeah.
Name in his show title.
Well, that's why we didn't get
along. Without our compensation.
He's actually a great guy. Regardless of what says about him.
You will love the show because it was all for his son and you will relate to that.
Yeah, I'm going to go and I'll cry and it'll be a hot mess. All right, Dean. So Robert,
I was hosting just real quick. I was I committed to, and I'm glad that I did because it was an amazing night. I was hosting a panel discussion on South Michigan Avenue, where
on the street.
Well, sort of. It's for the Record Rose Foundation. Back in the day, in the 50s, 60s, 70s, some of the biggest record companies in the world all came out of Chicago for R&B music. you know, Chess Records and so many of the other great labels. And a lot of the people that used to work at these record companies that were DJs back in the day, there was this great panel discussion about where music was back then, how it started here in Chicago, and how it's evolved into what it is today. It was really interesting. And I met some you know, people who have seen it all, done it all in the music business. So that was great. Check out recordrowfoundation.com to learn more about this.
Cool. All right. De Niro.
I cried a little bit also.
Yeah.
Because I like to sound emotional, too.
As morons, we're both very emotional.
Yep.
De Niro, you got more from him?
Yeah. We you know, talked to him on the red carpet the other day for the premiere of The Irishman in Los Angeles. But we also sat down with him one-on-one, Chicago-exclusive interview, by the way, where we got to talk to him a little bit more about the movie. And I thought that, you know, one of the things that I wanted one of the actors, directors, somebody to address is the length of this movie. It's 3.5 hours long. It's really challenging. And this is what De Niro had to say about it.
What do you say to people who are going to react to the length of the movie? I mean, it's long, and there must have been some discussions along the way. Should we make it shorter? Should we make it, you know, easier for short attention span?
I think that this kind of movie deserves to be the length that it is, because it's a masterpiece. The way Roma was a masterpiece, I thought of Roma when our movie was starting to take shape and so on. It's the same idea. So I thought it has to be what it has to be. And in fact, because it's Marty and he should have that right, that people have to stop, and even if things are a little long or a little this or a little that, though a lot of people have said they don't even notice the length, that's his right as a master, as an artist of his stature, and you owe that to them. That's the respect you must give, and that's what I feel that Marty has at this point. And not to sound so grandiose and highfalutin, but I think at one point you have to say that's what it is.
Steve, that's the respect that you must give to this.
It's 3.5 hours. You got a problem with that?
It is what it is.
Hey. So how great is it to hear De Niro say highfalutin?
I got him laughing during the interview.
That's great.
As well, I was making fun of Pacino during a press conference that we had earlier in the day. And he was actually laughing. It's like, wow, I made Robert De Niro laugh.
Somebody told me he does a phenomenal Pacino impression, but he'll never do it in public. Yeah. Like somebody saw him do it at a party.
He's kind of shy.
Yeah.
He really, unless you bring up Donald Trump's name, he's actually very, very shy. We did not talk politics at all. I'm going to play the full interview on my Sunday show this coming weekend.
We continue with John Witherspoon.
John Witherspoon, one of the great comedians. He was the father of Ice Cube in the Friday movies, the father of the Wayans brothers.
And a good friend of David Letterman.
On their show. You know that David Letterman is the godfather for his two sons?
Yeah, don't doubt it.
How about that?
Yeah.
Has appeared with Eddie Murphy and Tracy Morgan in so many movies. One of the great stand-ups from back in the 60s and 70s. Died last night. No cause of death was given. 77 years old, but no funnier man, and I interviewed him several times. No nicer guy either.
Yeah, I got to call Dreesen today, because Dreesen and Witherspoon and Letterman, I mean, they all were at the Comedy Store in those days in the 70s.
Right.
And ask him about him. Ricky Martin's a dad again.
Yeah, another baby from a surrogate, and it's a new baby boy that was, they just announced. They posted a little cute little picture of little Ren, R-E-N-N, Ren Martin Yosef is the baby's name. Joins his twin brothers and little sister.
Kevin Hart is not suing me?
Kevin Hart said he's not suing the guy who was driving the car.
Oh, I thought
that
it was
in the accident. But also, just as a strange coincidence, also not suing Steve.
Seems right.
For no particular reason.
Bill Murray is applying for a job.
Bill Murray, on Amy Schumer's podcast, you know, there's no one more unpredictable than Bill Murray ever. And he was on this podcast with Amy Schumer, in which he says that when he watches TV, he binge watches Family Feud. that an odd choice?
It's a complete Bill Murray choice.
He says he's got 60 episodes recorded.
Oh, my God.
And he loves binge-watching The Family Feud.
Well, of course he does.
He also said that recently he applied for a job as a busboy at the P.F. Chang's restaurant at the airport in Atlanta. Because he loves it. He goes, it's a lovely place. I've never been to that particular P.F. Chang's, but Bill, it's good enough for Bill Murray, good enough for me. P.F. Chang tweets after hearing this, Bill, when can you start?
That's very funny. And is HBO Max going to be worth $15?
I think so. They're going to have a new game, new Game of Thrones series that they're starting.
As a game show now, though, right? Where somebody dies in every episode?
And you have to guess who it is. Mm-hmm. They're going to have four new DC Comics series. They are going to be the sole channel where you can watch South Park reruns. That's a huge deal. They're supposed to be bringing back a Gossip Girl reboot. So some very interesting things that they're doing. It's $15 a month unless you already have HBO, and then it's going to be free. In addition to all the HBO programming, a lot of Warner Brothers material, because that's the parent company for HBO. And, it's going to begin May 22nd of next year.
And tell Annabelle, we said hello when you see her. You'll know she's in the newsroom, because everyone will know she's in the newsroom, because she's super loud.
Cannot miss her.
Talk to you later.
Bye.
It is 8:39. We mentioned the passing of John Witherspoon, the comedian. I just noticed this story. A Russian woman, said to be the world's oldest person, has died. She was 123. 123. Tanzila Bisembieva. Reportedly born in 1896 on my birthday, March 14th. Of course, she came 65 years before me, so I guess it was on her birthday that I was born. But 123.
And what was her advice to people, I wonder?
I'm trying to catch up on the story here now. Now, the weird part is she was killed when she fell off her surfboard and a shark got her.
I knew that was going to happen. Yeah. You love to involve a surfboard with those stories.
She raised four children. She's survived by 10 grandchildren, 13 great-grandchildren, 2 great-great-grandchildren. The great-great-grandmother claimed she was the world's oldest living person in 2016, where she had just celebrated her 120th birthday. She lived in a village of Elka in the Krasny Yar district. Don't you have a place in Krasny Yar?
I did. It was a timeshare.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's in Astrakhan, southern Russia.
So don't you think she probably, when asked the secret, it was like a shot of whiskey
vodka
every night.
That's my favorite.
Fried foods.
Mm-hmm. That's what you
say. That's what you want.
I think it's your genes.
Smoked all your life.
I have steak and cigarettes for breakfast.
Love
started
it.
Started vaping. Well, this isn't a death, but a 67-year-old grandmother gave birth to a baby girl in East China, and apparently she conceived naturally with her husband,
who's
68
years
old.
There's nothing natural about a 67-year-old being pregnant.
But you guys are talking 67 like it's so old, okay?
To have a baby,
it's old to
bring,
a baby.
I mean, think about, that's a lot of running around after you're like tired. You don't want to run around. I don't want to run around.
I know, but I know some 67-year-olds that are in better shape than 37-year-olds.
Well,
yeah. So, no, I agree, but I mean,
I think
to bring
right
a
now,
to
I
start could, raising a baby, though,
I would do it right now. I would be a surrogate for somebody if they'd let me.
Well, you're
Mary,
in
let's
shape.
Talk
you
after the show.
Texter from the 312 says 123 is the new 113.
Yeah, that's good.
So think about that. Born in 1896. That means she was 12 when the Cubs won their last World Series before 2016? 1908, right?
1908, yeah.
She would have been, when did World War One end? 1918? She would have been 23 when World War One ended.
The only sad thing about it would be is if I don't know how many of her friends are around.
I'm thinking none.
Right.
She's 123.
But I mean, thank goodness she has her family.
She doesn't even have any kids. I bet her kids were all dead. Her four children.
Yeah, okay, her children are probably gone.
Oh, my God. I didn't even think about that.
Well, they would have been 100. And,
no.
You know,
her kids
sure
are alive.
But one of her kids would have
great,
to be 100
grand,
years old.
She has great-great-grandchildren.
Yeah. I bet she outlived her children.
I just hope that she's aware of what's happening so she can enjoy it.
Well, yeah, she's the one that said at 120, I'm the oldest person in the world. So eat it. I think that's what she said.
Like Bart Simpson?
But she said it in Russian. I just get fascinated with the timeline of a life like that.
Yeah.
I mean, she was 67 years old when Kennedy was killed. Yeah, I mean, it's just crazy.
You want to live to be 123?
I want to live long enough to be a burden on my family. I sort of like the 89 is a nice round number.
You still want to do the radio show when you're 123?
I have a feeling I'll be doing it even if it's not hooked up to anything. I'll just be sitting in a room talking to myself. How long do you want to live?
I don't know. I mean, the people in my family, they don't live a very long time.
Well, my father died before he was 70. His mother lived to be 101. So 89 is right about in the middle of that.
I mean, as long as I had if I wasn't a burden on anybody, I had my mind and I had my physical, I could move about physically.
Got to pick a
on
number.
My own.
How old do you want to be?
This is weird. I'm
pick
not
a number.
Doing
you're
that.
The one who brought it up.
I was asking you.
Right. Well, you're also on the show.
I want to be, I'd like to be 103.
103.
How many
but
cats?
Only if I'm healthy.
Imagine how many cats you'll have at 103.
How many you'll all live.
I would have an entire menagerie of animals, critters.
We're going to get you like
fur babies.
We're going to get you porcelain cats and put them around the house and tell you they're
I
real.
Just don't want to be like Mrs. Havisham in Great Expectations.
Oh, yeah, walking around the wedding dress.
Yeah. Please, God, no.
Now, Dave, your dad is 95 and extremely healthy.
He'll be 96. I talked to him last night. He'll be 96 in December. He's in great shape. He's sharp.
You're in great shape, and you're 94. No, you're 62. Yeah, 64. Just what I said. So, but you look fabulous. You're in great shape. I mean, you're going to live a long life. So pick a number. When are you checking out?
I'm not planning to check out.
Well, you got to at some point. We got to make room for the next person.
There's a late checkout.
In your case, there is. Yeah. Everybody gets a turn. Eventually, your turn will be up.
Okay. Well, I think, first of all, I think my dad's got a great shot to reach 100.
I do, too.
So I want to hit the center.
Hit the hundo?
Yeah.
Well, why am I checking out at 89 then?
Yeah,
I don't know.
You're cutting yourself short.
Something's happening.
Yeah,
Dave is in the best shape of any of us.
No.
You really are.
No.
I have a feeling if I live any years past 60, I'm just going to be eating cat food.
Why 60?
The outlook is not good.
But you don't have a cat, do you?
No, I don't. They make some pretty healthy cat food.
He won't have enough money to live
long. I just feel like I have not saved enough money for retirement. I'm just going to take
it. But do you have hereditary illness in the family?
Not really, no.
Okay, so you could live a long life and be stuck with maybe not even cat food.
Well, living a long life and eating cat food because I can't afford anything else.
Steve Grzanich will be working until at least 88 years old.
Yeah.
Can you imagine how cranky he'll be in the newsroom then?
Yeah.
Mary, how long do you want to live?
Oh, 100 for sure.
Yeah, hundo?
No.
Yeah, my grandpa lived to be 102, my one grandpa.
Well, and your mom, how old was your mom?
My mom was 93 and my dad was 92.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's pretty good.
And Mary is also in fantastic peak physical shape.
Oh, thanks.
Hey, let's impress the youngsters. Joe, how long do you want to live?
I want to live to a nice round 74, buddy.
74?
What are you going to go out choking on pasta? What are you talking about?
Why's it got to be pasta?
Well, because you're Italian.
Oh, yeah. Good point.
Yeah. And how about the Greek? Is Viv near a microphone there?
Yes, I am.
All right. How long do you want to live?
93.
Why 93?
Because I was born in 1993. I think that's like a solid year.
Oh, like symmetry.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, though. With your generation, 93 is going to be, they went so young. Oh, they went
so
young.
Yeah, especially
when
there'll be a cure for cancer by then.
Listen,
a cure for everything by then.
A vaccine for everything.
As long as I eat olive oil and drink Medaxa with my chamomile, I think I'll be fine.
Drink your ouzo every day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then slather your skin with olive oil, too.
That's it.
Vivian is the most positive person we've all met since Andrea Darlis was positive. But Viv is positive all the time about everything.
Absolutely.
And I have a feeling the one time she's going to be negative is if she starts having her one olive a week with olive oil. And then she'll do the deep. And she'll be cranky. So.
I do love blue cheese stuffed olives in my martini.
Ooh.
All right, I'm going to take 89. I'm going to crank it up to 99. I want 99. I want to go just short of a hundo. And that way I'll have material to do in heaven at the club.
But, I see. Because I was going to say, the people are going to be like, he was so close.
Missed it by that much. And I'll be killed. Ricochet golf ball.
No doubt. Yeah. No doubt.
Bounce off a golf cart.
But
if
you get run over by a golf cart.
Let me tell you something. If you can't see me to stop when I'm 99, you're not paying attention. By the way, there'll be golf hover cars at that point. It is 8:51. Among the stories that Steve is talking about, and WGN News will be talking about all day, is a continuing mess in Washington, and it's frankly outrageous how Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman was treated yesterday. To have a decorated veteran stand up and at his own career risk, as well as reputation risk, do what he did, and to be called out the way he's been called out by various media types, it's nothing short of outrageous. This is a guy who came to this country with his brother at the age of 3. His mother had died. His father and his grandmother came here. They escaped Soviet Russia to get here. He is a patriot. He had served the United States, and so do his children. He was wounded. He has distinguished service medals. He has a Purple Heart. And he's being called out by chumps on TV for being a spy, which is just ridiculous, and also for being someone who is one Fox reporter said, looks like he's delusional. That's where we are with journalism now. So, you know, be careful how you throw in the fake news stuff, because Laura Ingraham and everybody are just, they seem to be getting very good at it, if they weren't already. But, I personally salute the colonel for his bravery, for his service, and for what he did here, because he felt he had to step up and say something about something that made him very uncomfortable. That was the president's phone call to Ukraine. And for people who are buying into some notion that he was tied to Ukraine in some way that is suspicious, he was a Russian expert because he served in Moscow, he served in Kiev, and he was appointed that and positioned that way because the government needed him to be an asset, not in the spy terminology, but an asset to this nation. And this is not the first time, and unfortunately it won't be the last. It's just very depressing to see where we've gotten with politics and what everybody says about everybody else. There's no walls anymore. There's no decency. There's no dignity. But, you know, you start tearing down people like Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman. It's a shame on you. It's on you. It's not on him. And he'll be fine. And it's the case with all of this stuff. I don't care if you're Democrat, Republican, whatever. Tell the truth or tell your story and get on with it. Because the more you stonewall and the more you stumble and the more you make stuff up and the more you try to say, no, look over here, not over there, you elongate this process and you look more guilty than ever. So, again, thank you, Lieutenant Colonel. All right, we got one more break. Yes, we'll take a break right here. We'll come back. We'll tell you what's coming up in the 9 o'clock hour on 720 WGN. If you are in the middle of it, I feel for you. And I don't know, Mary, do you remember a Halloween time period where it got this nasty this fast?
No. I mean, I remember 40s and cold and rainy type, but not in the 30s. Ooh.
And I thought people did a pretty good job today, considering the first storm of the year is usually just Armageddon on the roads.
Well, it wasn't good, but there weren't as many spinouts as I expected.
Right.
The snow was really heavy, too. Heavy and wet.
Right.
Yeah, according to everybody out in the burbs. I wonder if anybody's shoveling. Oof.
And is it still mostly Stevenson and south of that?
Yes, exactly. The okay. Stevenson really, really got hit the worst in 80, 94 and I-80. Those and 88 as well.
Coming up after 9, Neighborhood Eats. Who are we talking to today?
We are talking to Ina May Tavern and Packaged Goods, and we'll be talking to Chef Brian Jupiter. It's okay. A New Orleans spot.
And how'd you find it?
Well, I've known about him. He has a restaurant called Frontier that's known for its game meats, oysters, and large format food presentations. Like, you can order a whole hog.
Where do you get your food information from? I know you love your foodie, and I know you love this stuff, and you pay attention to it. But do you get tipped from people? Like, if there's people listening now, I go, hey, gee, you should know about this. Do you like that kind of stuff?
I always appreciate tips, and that happens. And then I do a lot of reading and research, and just I've been doing it for so long now that, you know, I hear about things.
Is there a place in town you want to go to that you haven't gone to yet?
There's always places I want to go to. But not off the top of my head at the moment.
Does the Loop have a great traditional, great upscale Chinese restaurant?
You know, the only one that I can think of is there is a dumpling. Oh my goodness!
The dumpling hut?
No, not just the dumplings. No.
Dumplings are us.
Oh my goodness! It's why can't I think of the name of the restaurant?
You'll find it.
Right,
you'll find
now.
It by the time we do the segment.
Oh my goodness! Yes, but there's two of them actually. That are good.
I can't think of another main cuisine that it's harder to find someplace.
There's a good one.
You know, special. Anyway, you'll tell us about that coming up.
Yes. Sorry.
And we'll get to the news here in just a second. Also, Steve Dale. Is Steve Dale's dog with him? Steve Dale brought a dog?
I heard he was bringing a puppy. Is that
all
true?
Right, puppy's coming in, too. All right. News time first. Steve's here with that right now.
Hey, Ma! Can we get some meatloaf?
Ho, neighborinos.
We need two big pizzas, man. Everything on them.
Hi, ho, neighbor.
Nobody messing in my neighborhood.
Hey, Ma! The meatloaf! We want it now! The meatloaf!
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
Texters 219G should dress up as Tyler Perry's Madea.
Ooh, I don't know about that.
Got any costume ideas for anybody on the station? Nobody suggested anything for Bill and Wendy or Williams yet.
No.
Mostly me and Ro.
Well, I think you two are, you know.
Are the biggest heads on this place. Yeah. Ro Connell will join us later this hour. The music simply means it's time for G to talk food. And
yeah.
This joint's in New Orleans?
Well, it is.
That's a long commute for you.
It's serving New Orleans food. But before we get to that, I wanted to answer your question because you asked me about a good Chinese place in the Loop.
Yeah.
And my recommendation would be Imperial Le Mian, which is on 6 West Hubbard Street. Right.
Is it French Chinese? What is the Le Mignon?
It's actually hand-pulled noodles, and you can watch them do it. And have you ever seen Chinese noodles being hand-pulled?
Uh-uh.
It is dramatic, fascinating, and there's
art to it?
Oh, yeah. So it's like this giant... It's like this giant piece of dough that they keep pulling and pulling, and then they kind of wheel it around like a jump rope. They're not jumping rope with it, but it's just they twirl it and they keep pulling it, and that's how the strings.
It'd be kind of cool if they did jump rope.
No, but it's incredible to watch. I mean, it takes a lot of skill. And they also have soup dumplings, which are known as Xiaolong Bao. And have you had Xiaolong Bao before?
No, I have not.
Okay, so it's it can be.
I had egg rolls.
Oh, nice. I'm proud of you. So there's pork inside of it, or it can be crab or other types of protein. And then there's a dollop of actual broth, hot broth, that once you bite into it, it sort of spills out into your mouth. So it's like you get to eat your soup.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. So that would be my recommendation.
I'm still confused about the Le Mignon part.
That's the word for hand-pulled. Yeah, the hand-pulled noodles. Yeah.
I didn't know the word Le was in the Chinese language.
Well, it's L-A-M-I-A-N. I'm probably not doing a great job pronouncing it. Le Mignon. Yeah.
Okay, no, it's fine.
Yeah.
All right, now tell me about this New Orleans joint.
Okay, so I went to Ina May Tavern and Packaged Goods. And have you been to New Orleans?
I've never been. My mother's favorite city.
Oh, Steve, I can see you in New Orleans, like, for real. You would love... I mean, it's a magical town.
People used to call me Crawdaddy.
Oh, nice. Yeah, you are a Crawdaddy. So New Orleans is magical, as everybody... If you've been lucky enough to go, it feels like you're in another country. The French influence, the Creole, the Cajun, the soul food, it's pretty incredible. And... Born and bred executive chef Brian Jupiter is from there, and lucky for us, he now is a Chicagoan, has been here for over, I think, like 12 years.
And he was supposed to be on his show, but here's the deal, and you know my policy. If somebody stiffs us, they're not on the show again.
Oh, my gosh.
But in this case, I have great sympathy for people that don't get enough sleep. And if somebody runs a restaurant or a bar, they probably went to bed about 2 or 3 this morning.
Yes.
So he gets a pass.
Absolutely. And he is an incredible guy. He's always doing charity work. So Brian Jupiter, he's an executive chef there, and he owns it. And a lot of people know him for Frontier as well. It's a restaurant that's known for its game meats, game sausages. There's often pictures of Brian Jupiter with a giant full-sized alligator. That's been barbecued.
Really?
They have alligator there
as well.
Have
you ever had gator?
I have had gator before.
And?
It
tastes like angry chicken.
Yeah, that's a great description.
You've had gator, Dave?
When I traveled with the Bears back in the Super Bowl season, they would serve alligator on every flight to the team.
Mm.
And it had something to do with one night Ditka going
that they
to
were
restaurants.
Crazy?
No, it was something they started in Tampa and they won the game, so it became like a superstition.
So Frontier has large format meals and you can order an entire alligator, various sizes, if you want to have a party. They also have a whole hog. They have also wild boar. So he does a lot of game meats, including like an antelope leg as well. But they're also known for their oysters and everything.
Wait, an antelope leg?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he has made a name for himself.
Is that like a drumstick?
No, it's pretty big. So like you want to get like 10 to 12 people together and then make a reservation.
Sounds like a Renaissance festival.
Right. And that restaurant is in Noble Square. So that's been around for almost 10 years actually now. But his new restaurant is called Ina May Tavern. It's all New Orleans food. So we're talking po' boys. We're talking seafood towers.
How about gumbo?
Gumbo. It's his grandmother's recipe. The restaurant is named after his great-grandmother, Ina May, mm-hmm. who was the backbone of the family. And then he learned to cook from his grandmother, Rosetta. And so it's Rosetta's gumbo recipe.
It's right out of Central Casting.
Yes, there's fried chicken, fried oysters. There's Nashville hot chicken. It's pretty incredible, decadent, delicious food.
And where is it?
This one is in Wicker Park. And Ina May at 1415 North Wood Street. And this is really the restaurant that he always dreamed of opening. And it really is an ode to the women in his life. It's, you know, it's really because of his great-grandmother, his grandmother, and his mother that he was able to find his path in cooking. And he's known he wanted to cook since he was young. Like, his first job as a fry cook was at age 15. In New Orleans. And then he got professionally trained, worked in finer restaurants, and then decided, you know, he wanted to do his own thing. So it's delicious. And the bread is very important for a po' boy. You know what I'm talking about with a po' boy.
Sure,
right?
Of course.
Okay. So
I get out once in a while.
No. I'm not trying to be rude. I just wanted to make sure. But one of the most important elements besides the dressing, which is the shredded lettuce and the pickles and the tomato, is that you have to have the right bread. It can't be a baguette. It can't be a soft roll. It has to have
not
the right,
Wonder Bread?
No. It has to have the right crispy crunch on the outside. It has to be soft on the inside. And he says that it has to break properly so that when you take a bite, all the stuff that you've packed into it doesn't fall out, which is always messy, right?
It's like sandwich science.
Right. And a lot of people listening will know where his rolls, his baguette, the bread comes from. It comes from D'Amato's Bakery, which is on Grand Avenue in Westtown, which has been an Italian. Super Joe, you ever been to D'Amato's?
I sure have. I love it over there on Grand.
Yep. And they're known for their bread. And
some his good bread over there.
Absolutely. And great sandwiches, too. So he sources his bread from there as well.
So you highly recommend.
Mm-hmm. And
are they open for lunch?
No, they are not open for lunch. But they are open for brunch Saturday and Sunday.
Okay.
And here's the thing. So you know how, like, you want to impress somebody? So there's
I don't really.
Well, no, you're so impressive. You don't have to worry about that.
No, of course, everybody wants to impress
people. If you want to go on a special occasion or a date, you end up wanting to order a seafood tower if you're into seafood.
Sure.
And seafood towers can run you well over $100 if you're downtown,
yep.
Right? He has seafood towers from $40 to $50.
No kidding.
Yes.
That's very reasonable.
And this includes oysters, shrimp, crab, crawfish, and he has what he calls a po' man's seafood tower, which is the fried seafood version. So he has a boiled version and a fried seafood version, too.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
So he created it.
Yeah. It's pretty amazing.
Is he still chefing then?
Absolutely. And he has his own hot sauces, and they have awesome drinks as well, cocktails, of course, the Hurricane. And the cocktail menu is very well thought out. It's not gimmicky at all. It's authentic New Orleans food because he's from there.
How did he end up in Chicago?
He moved here for his a really good gig at a restaurant that's now closed to fine dining.
Started chefing here.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So if you want to read about your take on this and see all the pictures and things.
Yes. And there's
and
a video.
Where do they go for that?
They go to suntimes.com and wgnradio.com. Also, do you know what a peacemaker po' boy is?
I do not. What is that?
A peacemaker has New Orleans roast beef on it, as well as fried shrimp.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, so, I'd like that.
Yeah. So it's a little bit of surf and turf.
Why is it called peacemaker? Because I'd fight somebody for that.
Well, you know what? Because it brings peace. Because it has a little bit of, it has the surf and the turf.
All right, for anything related to our Neighborhood Eats, can you get them all in one place? Like if I go to WGNradio.com, Neighborhood Eats, could I see all of your Neighborhood Eats?
Yeah, but I mean, I think, you know, because I've been doing these for quite a while, for over a year, you can find them all on the Sun-Times website and also the Sun-Times YouTube page as well.
Okay, well, we should have them Eats. Curated, as we like to say, in one spot at WGNradio.com.
Absolutely. I would love to share them. Okay. You know that.
Well, we link to the Sun-Times article in the podcast that we post for Neighborhood Eats.
Okay.
So there we go.
Nice job by you.
Thank you. Ina May Tavern and Packaged Goods, 1415 North Wood Street. And the reason why it's called a packaged goods store, it takes after the corner store in New Orleans that he grew up with. And so you can go in there and buy little things to go.
Sure.
And then there's usually a great cafe in the back where someone's making really good, scrumptious homemade food.
So he didn't
food.
Miss a trick.
No. And it feels like you're in New Orleans.
Okay. But without the humidity.
Laissez le bon temps brûler, Steve.
I don't know what you just said, but I think it was an insult.
It's I said let the good times roll, which is something that you say during Mardi Gras.
Yeah, okay. I got you. 9:20. All right, let's do this. We'll take one break. We'll come back. There's some new emojis out. No, you know me. I'm all about the emojis. That's just one of the many things we need to get to. And there's a dog in the house. And I don't mean Steve Dale, but he brought one. And you'll have a chance to adopt this dog. I believe that's how we're going to do this. We'll tell you about that coming up as well on 720 WGN. All right, a couple of things to plug here. Let me get my headphones back on, Dave. That's an important part of the job.
Yeah, it really is.
Okay. I was just returning a text to a helpful listener.
Why are you smiling?
I just wanted to make sure that we have open communication. All right, a couple of things to mention here. The Chicago Families Anonymous Group is holding its 41st annual convention Sunday, November 3rd at the Amita Health Center, 7435 West Talcott in the city, 8:45 in the morning till 3 in the afternoon. Theme is Journey of Recovery. And Jeffrey Rausch, great guy, by the way, from DuPage, the DuPage NAMI organization, doing wonderful work for mental health support. And who shares his passion for raising awareness about mental illness along with the methods to combat anxiety and depression. Jeffrey's going to speak. Jeffrey kind of helped MC the last event I did for NAMI DuPage.
Oh, nice.
Workshops include a police sergeant who serves on the crisis intervention team, the Family Disease and Addiction Center, Disease of Addiction Center, meditation and self-care. There'll also be a person in recovery from AA sharing the story. Tickets are $50 per person. Includes lunch and a continental breakfast. That's pretty reasonable for the good that they're doing. And the information you're going to get, you can go to FAC, it's actually FAChicago.org. That's FAChicago.org. There's also a walk-in registration the day of the event. And we will post this information as well, but thank you to all of them. And I bet you're saying, Steve, do you have more?
Steve, do you have more?
Yeah, one right here, Dave. I got this one, too. There is a synagogue for the deaf in Chicago. You aware of that?
I had no idea.
It's the only one in Chicago. The services are in sign language, interpreted by rabbis and a choir, giving the deaf and hard of hearing members of the Jewish community equal access to prayers. The temple sponsors a food pantry for the local area and their rabbis, offering healing prayer and study. It's a very unique temple. They were founded 47 years ago by the same rabbi who is still there today. And Chicago's Marley Matlin was bat mitzvahed there. Now, here's the problem. A wealthy group for years provided most of the financial support, but those people have passed away and they've lost a major source of income. In order to remain open, they have drastically cut the salaries of their clergy and reduced other expenses. Due to the personal dedication and generosity of the rabbis and small staff, they remain open, but they're in trouble. Expenses like sign language interpreters, police security, water, phone, etc., that's not going to go away. And if their heating system breaks down or their roof needs replacement, they're going to have to shut down. They never turn away those who are unable to pay dues. They welcome all community members, regardless of their religious beliefs or ethnicity. It's a very special place. As a matter of fact, they have a free interfaith Thanksgiving service open on 11/24 to everybody. We're going to see if we can have somebody on the show about this, but I really hope people support this organization because, I mean, it's doing a really important service. You know, I mean, it's one of those things, frankly, I never would have thought of. But a synagogue for the deaf.
One of my favorite things to do is to watch YouTube videos of sign language interpreters on stage with a musical performance.
They're amazing.
Because they sign so fast, especially right. if the performer is rapping. It's lightning fast.
Yeah, they're absolutely amazing.
And it's my sister-in-law does that.
Oh,
is that right?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
She does it once in a while at, you know, concerts and things like that, and she teaches as well. Yeah.
To me,
it's amazing to watch.
My eyes end up going to the interpreter because it's so incredible to watch, and it's a better show sometimes, honestly.
Well, and I would assume that whoever is signing, Mary, you tell me, but whoever is signing has to know the music or the set list mm-hmm. to try to do it in real time because the deaf person can feel the vibrations.
Absolutely. You have to practice.
And they're usually in rhythm and they're usually dancing and the way their fingers fly, it's magical.
It's cool. It's a cool thing. Now, here's the thing I don't know. Superdare, I don't see the name of this temple anywhere in here. I'm looking at the notes while I'm talking about it. I go, well, wouldn't it be nice if I named the temple? So we're going to see if we can find the name of this because there's got to be ways you can help out.
Even our website you're not or something.
A member of the family.
Let's see.
Do you find if I read to myself while I'm on the air, it sounds like dead air?
Well, I don't know if this is.
It's the only temple for the deaf in Chicago,
okay.
According to this.
It's Congregation Beni Shalom.
Okay, I'll take your word for it.
4435 Oakton Street. I hope that's the right one.
Well, let's look into the website during the break and see if there's a way to donate. That's the I Love theme from Ro Khan. Good morning, Ro.
Good morning, Steve.
The temple we were talking about a second ago is Beni Shalom. BeneShalom. BeneShalom.org is the website. The temple for the deaf that Marley Matlin was bat mitzvah at. They have very severe, significant financial issues. And any way you can help is appreciated. As services continue, but they're highly stressed. How are you doing, man?
I'm all right. That's actually my former wife's synagogue.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Her,
so you're
her congregation, actually.
Well, you need to pick it up on your show, man. Start raising some money for these fine folks.
All right.
Yeah. I apologize for mispronouncing it earlier.
We're not judging you. We still
my
like
Hebrew.
You.
Not so good.
Ro, earlier today, I asked for people to give us suggestions on what the staff should wear as Halloween costumes. It should be quite a shock to you, but quite a few of them involve me being bald. 847, a bald eagle costume. 630, a bull from Night Court. You know, bull from Night Court doesn't get a lot of play these days. So it's nice that we got a little bit. And then this, Steve, you ought to be Captain Underpants. Bald head, red cape, tidy whities.
Is TV Land still on the air? I don't even know if that still exists.
Night Court? I don't even know.
Yeah.
Helpful texters also say 630, Ro needs a straitjacket and he's done. So that's all they're suggesting for you.
And a bald cap. I'm going to go as you with a bald cap and a straight jacket, and then I'm good to go.
Right.
I'm Steve.
Yeah, your morning and afternoons at WGN.
Exactly.
Here's a nice one from 219. I'd love to see you dress like that cute little pink bladder on the pee-pee commercial. These are the fans.
I happen to like that very much, that commercial where the bladder is... seems like such a friendly little, whatever it is, animated character.
Well, doctors have said forever the bladder is your friendliest organ.
Can you imagine being the advertising person that's pitching that concept?
Yeah.
Like,
kind of wondering how that meeting's going to go. So, all right, what's happening on the show? What are you doing today?
Well, it's very interesting that you should mention that, Steve. The production meeting started at 6 a.m., and we are still working
right. So there's top flight decisions being
made. Many different
time?
Things, yes. But we do have kind of a fun sort of secret surprise coming up.
So there'll be topics and interesting things to discuss, as well as interactivity online or possibly on the phone, and, of course, plenty of free parking.
Right, and if you listen to the promo, which we cut yesterday, it'll tell you what that secret is. I just can't recall it at the moment.
You've been listening to the two worst promotional parts of the radio station, Ro and me. Now, I have a friend of ours in studio.
Wait, hold on. I'm joining you by satellite right now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And hi to Fawn and everybody at CLTV.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that individual's on camera yet, so let's fix that. Steve Dale's here. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning. This is so exciting because Ro Khan is here to witness. We are going to adopt out, I think it's our 30th dog in a row.
Is this 30?
Yeah, I think so.
Wow. How cool is that? Ro, are you a dog guy?
I love dogs. Yeah.
Do you have one currently?
I have a grand dog right now who lives right next door to me. So we spent a lot of time together.
What kind of dog are we talking about?
He's an English bulldog.
All right. So let's ask some questions of Mr. Dale. Ro, I know you want to know these answers, too. Dogs on Halloween, I bet they get freaked out, Steve. Is that true?
Sometimes. So some dogs love wearing a costume because they love the attention all of that brings.
Yeah, but if a costume is,
so the dogs that are, when it's like this outside,
yeah,
and it's very cold out, and the small dogs especially are accustomed to wearing coats and jackets, putting on a costume is no different.
I'm talking about the scream mask. When a dog's walking down the street and suddenly nice people aren't what they see, they see all these freaks in costumes.
It's terrifying for a lot of dogs. You're absolutely right. Yes. So for those dogs, do not go trick-or-treating. Don't go outside with those dogs. And in fact, I say keep those dogs in a safe room, quote-unquote, in the house. That's what doors are for. Close the door. A lot of dogs get lost on Halloween because that front door opens, doorbell rings, ding, ding, ding.
Oh, they run outside.
And they run outside, either because they're scared or just because, oh, it's fun to run outside, one way or the other.
Yeah, they're making a break for it.
Steve, can I ask a question?
Sure.
Mr. Dale,
yes.
I have to figure out which one I'm talking to right now. Is the dog afraid of people in costumes?
Some dogs are, yeah, because what is that? They don't know. Now, when they get close enough, if they get close enough to sniff, but it's very confusing. It smells like a person, but it sure as heck doesn't look like one.
All right, let's also talk about something else very important for Halloween. Dogs, Ro, and I should all not get chocolate. Is that right?
You probably not. Ro, I'm not so sure of in many ways. Mm-hmm. And yes, dogs do not get chocolate. And in fact, the darker the chocolate, the more theobromine it has in it. That's the chemical.
Isn't that the Cubs? That's the Cubs GM, isn't it? Theobromine?
Yes. Yeah, that is. Yeah.
Yeah. Ron was. Fine job.
Nice.
So the chocolate is dangerous.
It is.
Yeah,
yes.
So shelf it and keep it away from the dog.
And other candy, too. And the other thing I say is if you do take your dog trick-or-treating, and it's a dog that doesn't mind all those scary-looking zombie people walking around and all the commotion at Halloween, if it's not wrapped, you know, in a wrapper, we tell our kids, or we tell us, don't give it to your kids. I wouldn't give it to my dog either. And by the way, raisins can be a concern too. I don't know who would give a dog raisins on Halloween, but we think that's very dangerous. We know grapes are.
Those little boxes, right? Sometimes people give those out on Halloween.
Boxes of raisins.
Yeah. For kids, sure. Not for dogs.
So a chunky would be really bad.
Chunky. Really bad.
A block of chocolate with raisins in it. Ro, that's where your problems start. So,
and you know what's happening now in Denver?
Really, that's where?
That's
in, where. In Denver, they have all those chocolate products that have
weed
in it.
Yeah.
And people place them on a countertop. This is actually true. I mean, you normally put a drug, you know, behind a closed door, right, in your medicine cabinet. But they just put those on a countertop. It's chocolate. It's enticing to dogs. So now you get a double whammy. You get all the weed, which is not good for a dog.
How has this not been a problem in Colorado for the last 2 or 3 years, ever since it became legal, where grandma's babysitting on Halloween? And they run out of chocolate, and they go, oh, look, your mom and dad have some over here. And suddenly you're handing it out to the kids.
Oh, boy.
I don't know what they do there.
I don't know. It's not good.
But is weed really bad for dogs?
I
can't believe I just asked that question, Steve.
No, enough of it, yes. So the most
Sometimes with dogs, they go to a Grateful Dead concert, and they toss a frisbee.
Well, the most popular lectures now at veterinary conferences used to be behavior. That's what I give, right? But the most popular ones are actually the TCB ones, because veterinarians are being asked about this constantly. Is it good for dogs or cats with anxiety? Is it good for dogs or cats who have orthopedic problems or undergoing cancer treatments? And some studies are beginning to happen right now. In fact, I'm going to a conference next month in Ottawa, Canada, on that topic.
Xylitol is a sugar-free gum, very poisonous. People
Great
don't know.
Great point. Yes.
This is a texter.
Yes. Thank you, texter. Yeah, anything with an artificial sweetener called xylitol. So we stuff low-fat, low-salt peanut butter into toys. That's a really good thing. But if that peanut butter has xylitol as a sugar replacement, that's a really bad thing for dogs.
Yeah. Texter says, I have a black mouth cur. What is a black mouth cur?
It's a kind of coonhound.
Okay.
Well, I think.
Always scared.
It depends what they're referring to.
Always scared to go out and walk. Fears any noise. What do you do about noise on Halloween? A safe room again?
Yeah. Yeah, I would.
How about doggy headphones? Is that a thing, Ro?
Yes, for mine. Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He's got his head is bigger than mine, so, yeah.
Not mine.
All right, and what are you going to be for Halloween, Roca?
Oh, and that's actually a surprise.
Oh, that's the surprise.
Well. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'm not allowed to say what I'm going to be, but I am actually dressed up tomorrow for TV. So,
okay. That'll be on your Windy City.
By the way, you will have to take a look because I will be wearing a bald cap. So later in the day, I will be coming over and being you.
Okay, that's fantastic. That's great news for everyone who wants to mock me and hadn't had a chance so far. All right, thanks, man. I'll talk to you later. That's RoCon, and the RoCon show starts today at 3. Another question for you, Steve, before we get to our doggy on the studio here and our friends. 224, why does my cat attack my ankle only at night?
Only at night? Yeah. Well, it could be the cat has nothing better else to do and is sleeping too much during the day.
So the cat's bored.
As one possibility, yeah, because cats naturally are active at night. Most of them change around their schedules, and they kind of work on our schedule, if you will. But there are cats that overnight, 3 in the morning, say, you know what? I did nothing all day except sleep, so now I want when that happens, that cat got a lot of attention. And even if the attention is, bad cat!
It's reinforcement.
Yeah, it is reinforcement.
Another texture says, is melatonin okay for cats?
For cats, I'm not so sure about
dogs.
I wouldn't do it. You see your veterinarian, but yes. But see your veterinarian about the dosage and how you're using it.
Why would you give a dog melatonin?
To help relax the dog, a dog that isn't sleeping at night, maybe having bad dreams, dreaming about squirrels it cannot get.
It's always interesting, right, when a dog is dreaming and is doing that fake running thing?
Well, they do have REM sleep. That we know. What we don't know is what they dream about.
Mm-hmm. Well, you could ask.
But I know, actually. So the dogs that have been in studio, what they dream about is Dave Ennett.
Right. No. I think it's Dave's cologne.
You think that's it?
Dave
wears Eau de Pork Chop, and that's why the dogs love him so much. All right, so we'll take a quick break, come back. You're going to tell us about the dog and introduce our friends here and talk about the great things they do, and we're going to get this dog a new home.
Yes!
And this dog's name is?
Diamond.
Diamond. All right. First this, then we're back on 720 WGN. All right, back on the Steve Cochran Show. Bill and Wendy coming up at 10. Steve Dale, who have you brought in with you today?
I have brought in Diamond, available for adoption from Chicago Animal Care and Control, the city's municipal facility.
Isn't that Kelly's
to
place?
Tell us, yes, about Diamond. Kelly Gandersky is the executive director as Dave Ennett goes down to play with Diamond. Kelly.
And hopefully you're
Hi,
picking
everyone.
That up
Thanks for having us. We've got Diamond, who's a senior girl here available for adoption, but we've got over 200 dogs.
Wow.
And that's available for adoption almost every day. So we'd love for people to come down to the shelter at 2741 Southwestern Avenue and adopt from us. And if you can't adopt, foster.
What is that? What is that? Western and what?
It's essentially Western and 26th Street.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was recently there, and I am so impressed by the facility because I think you have a predisposed idea of what a municipal animal control facility will look like. But it was so clean. It was so beautiful. Yeah. There were lots of volunteers coming in and
Good
out,
for you,
people
Kelly.
Visiting pets. It was great.
Yeah, Kelly has made some positive, wonderful changes. We should describe Diamond so people know what Diamond looks like.
Yeah, you said senior. What does that mean?
Yeah, she's about 7 years older, a little bit older. She was an owner surrender, so her family couldn't take care of her anymore. So she's used to living in a home. The shelter environment, although we do the best we can, is just not, it's not the same as a home. So
sure.
For senior dogs, it's very stressful. She's got a wonderful personality. So happy to meet everyone. Loves attention.
She'd like some more right now.
That's right. She's moaning off in the corner because people stop petting her.
Right.
Yes.
But she's an easygoing girl, and she'd just make a great addition to someone's home.
And what size?
She's about probably 50, 55 pounds.
Yeah, so that's a bigger, medium-sized dog. I don't know how you describe it, but if you've got room and you want to have a great, fun dog, this dog looks like that's the answer.
Yeah, even though she's a medium, larger dog, she's not a bull in a china shop, you know, by any means. She's, you know, a dainty kind of girl and just mild-mannered, so I think she would do great in an apartment setting.
She's a sweetheart.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah, I just had some quality time with her.
She
yeah.
has the cutest white socks. In the, her front paws.
Oh, no, that's, yes. that's Dave.
Also, this kind of brindle coloring, just a beautiful, beautiful
mm-hmm. So how do you adopt? What do we do?
So you come down to 2741 Southwestern between the hours of 12 and 6 p.m., and you meet our dogs or cats, you fill out an application, and our staff or volunteers will screen that and process your animal to take home.
How'd you get in this business?
I'm actually an attorney by trade. I've worked for the city of Chicago for several years as an attorney, and Chicago Animal Care and Control was a client department of mine. I've always had a big affinity for animals and wanted to do some great things for the department.
And if any of the dogs need legal representation, you're right there with them.
That's right. I'm right there for them.
Yeah. And a big event coming up from Friends of Chicago Animal Care and Control. That's the nonprofit arm mm-hmm. of Animal Control. And Charlie can tell us about
it. Lean into that microphone for me, Charlie. Get right up there close. Okay. Tell me about the event.
The event is called We Want to Tickle Your Funny Bone.
Okay.
And that right. comes out of the fact that we're holding the event at IO Theater down on Kingsbury
yeah,
Street.
Improv. Yeah, yeah.
Improv. Long form improv. And they're, the group there is putting on a show for us, an hour long show. But in addition to that, we'll have animals there to be adopted, like Diamond, from the city shelter. And we also have lots of food, great drinks. Yes, there's alcohol involved. We always like that.
And it's going to be great.
It's going to be fabulous.
When right, is it? Stand by. Stand by. Oh, we're going to tease standing. People because we got to go right to the news.
Yeah, yeah.
Steve.
Mayor yeah. Lightfoot is speaking to reporters now, and she has made reference to a tentative agreement in the teacher strike, saying that it is her hope that when the CTU House of Delegates meets later today, that they will improve it. So it looks as if this strike might be over. She said that earlier she wasn't surprised by the length of it, but she said it was her hope that the delegates would approve. What she her reference was she said the tentative agreement that is on the table. So I don't know if it's a full announcement of a tentative agreement, but it certainly seems that way, especially after the union indicated there could be a settlement today as well.
And Lightfoot would not go on camera and say that unless she felt pretty good about
seems
it.
Pretty strong to me.
Yeah. Thank you, Steve. All right. So that was a perfect tease. So now that we got people hooked and interested, how do they find out more and how do they get tickets?
You can get tickets and more information online at our website. It's the letters are FCACC.org. That stands for Friends of Chicago Animal Care and Control.
Give me the dates again.
We need it. When? We need to hear from people because the event is happening on November 7th.
Oh, yeah, it's not too far away.
It's not too far away.
So let's get those tickets done. And Kelly, we didn't ask you about your website, did we?
No, we're at chicago.gov/CACC.
All right, last word, Steve Dale. What do you got for me?
I am so excited that we're back, and this will be 30 dogs. I will be more excited when we for sure adopt out this dog. It's an older dog who really, as Kelly said, as well as the dog actually is doing, considering at the facility at Animal Care and Control.
Dog's only seven. I mean, if that dog's old, what am I? Dead 3 weeks ago. Come on. That's
no one is
dog.
Commenting in the studio.
Yeah, it got real
they?
Quiet there, didn't it? Super yeah. quiet. Thank you, Steve. And
thank you,
ladies.
Steve.
And thank you for the work
us.
You're doing. So, all right, Bill and Wendy time. Wendy, come up here, find a microphone, will you?
Okay.
Yes, come over here.
Right here.
And what are you doing today?
Dr. John Duffy will be on with us.
That's a good segment. I like when you guys have Duffy on.
Thank you. He's
I think
great.
He helps a lot of people.
Absolutely.
And it's not an easy thing to do because, you know, you talk about things, you have to be sort of general about them. But I think he also inspires people to go seek out therapy, which more people need to do.
Absolutely.
I think it should be legally required.
Working with Bill, you know, you need therapy.
Yeah, it's probably true. By the way, I asked for Halloween costume ideas for you guys. Raggedy Ann and Andy.
That'd be great.
No, it wouldn't.
That no more
up.
Popular duo in show business right now than Raggedy Ann and Raggedy yeah. Andy.
I got Mike and Carol Brady. That came up as well.
That would be fun.
That's all right.
Yeah, but mostly just bald jokes about me. That was most of the morning.
Why would they do that to you?
Yeah, I don't know. What's the weird part is, you know, the camera puts 10 pounds on you? The camera actually takes all your hair off.
Yeah.
I don't know that.
Oh, no.
That's right. Yeah. People know that.
It's weird. I have that special filter. Thank you, CLTV, as they go away. And you guys are about to do your show, so have fun with it. And happy Halloween Eve. And the commute, well, they'll keep you up to date on that, too. Though, if you're not at work now, you're probably not getting there. See you tomorrow.
Serving the great Midwest from Chicago.